If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did, sir.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented.
Don't
this
most
is a,
shows
is this still CNN?
Don't.
I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were all
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers. Last episode.
What? Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens.
Can we get a resume in here for me?
B-movie opens tomorrow.
Can Larry
get
you over?
We'll be right back.
And now, What's with the Poll? Our feature presentation.
Dude. It's a way to start the week. Together, I think it took him about 6 months.
Why? Because they're busy schedules?
He's trying to talk to her about who he is and what part he's going to sing, and him to her. He had no idea what's going on.
So, Wing wasn't annoying enough on her own. You guys had to figure out a way to make it worse by adding the Armenian comedian to the song?
And by worse, you mean best ever?
Actually, I think that's the correct use of the word worst.
Oh. Sounds like they got the equal talent to me.
All right.
And I'm going down.
Big ending now. Big ending. Big ending now.
All the way.
Damn.
Queenie Rose.
That'll solve the ticket scalping problem if we can get them on the Weenie Roast bill, I'll tell you that.
Weenie Roast.
If this isn't hell, friend, then where are we?
Good question.
You. How dare you?
Why would you do that to people at 5:30 on a Monday morning?
Wake them up, man.
Yeah.
Wake them up.
Wake them up. Jeez.
They're laying there. The radio's on, but they're kind of half paying attention, drifting in and out. You bring in Wing and Sam. Boom.
Absolutely.
Eyes wide awake.
They're like, am I in hell?
No one
Did
would
I
ever oversleep if that song were your alarm in the morning, right?
That's what I'm saying. I need to make that my ringtone.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. There you
Enjoyed
go.
It.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:34, and it's Monday, the 14th of Aprilingus. How's the weekend? You dead yet, Bean?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Bean said on told us on Friday off the air he thinks he's being poisoned.
I am getting strangely and peculiarly sick, and it's weird because I've had a bunch of tests, and I seem to be fine. I mean, if you just looked at me on paper, I am an Olympian. I mean, I really am. I am the strongest, healthiest guy ever. I really am. If you just looked at my numbers, if you just went by the stats.
If you didn't make him walk anywhere.
I should live to be 100. I mean, easily. But I don't know that I'm going to make it to this afternoon the way I'm going. I don't know what's going on.
I wonder who would poison Bean. Let me think. Let's start with a list of people who would want to poison Bean. Okay, everyone.
Okay, everyone is first.
All then, people.
And then everyone else.
And then everyone else.
And then whoever we missed in the original, everyone.
And all women.
But see, this is why I think my wife may be so smart, is that she went away to Europe on vacation with a bunch of people. So she's out of the country. She's got an alibi. Yet, left behind food that she made for me, apparently lovingly, is the way she described
it.
So I eat the food. A few days go by. I die. It's already out of my system at that point. She wasn't here. Couldn't have been her. Boom. Perfect crime.
Well, I think there may be some merit to this because honestly,
I mean, think about it.
Who in this day and age leaves a perfectly grown up adult?
Well, let's not get crazy.
Food frozen in the freezer. You know, heat this 430 minutes. Come on,
right?
Why don't you not eat that food today and just see if your health improves?
Then I'll have nothing else to eat. But I mean, okay, I guess
you can't get other food
else to eat.
No, that's it. I'm stuck.
All right.
And if the food runs out before she gets back, I guess I just won't eat it all.
How about that? How about that?
Poor Bean.
Wow.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I'm okay. Hey, I'm still showing up. I'm still giving you know, my usual 60% that I give it every day. I'm doing my part. But look, I couldn't be more excited about today's show
because
Spencer the Love Dispenser is coming on today.
Okay.
And I'm really – oh, the other thing. Don't even get me started on that. I'm too excited to even talk about the other thing.
Sure.
Kevin, you haven't been watching The Hills this year, but Spencer is on fire. He's the best person in the history of television.
I caught a couple of episodes over the weekend.
He makes Omarosa seriously look like Mother Teresa. He really does. He makes her so lovable when you look at what Spencer's like.
Is he the new star of the show, would you say?
He's the new anti-star.
That's when
they're
the excitement.
They're all anti-stars.
Well, yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're right, Lisa. I mean, he's the, you know, the Johnny Fairplay from Survivor. He's the guy that the show crackles when he's on because of the stuff. I think here's one clip from The Hills, and then we'll be talking to Spencer later.
Oh, my God. What is this doing here?
There's a piece of furniture that he brought over because, remember, he and his girlfriend Heidi broke up, right? So he brought this enormous piece of furniture. What do you think it is, Mike? It's some sort of a credenza or something, or what?
I don't know what to expect. I can't explain it. It's just avant-garde piece of nothingness.
It's huge and so ugly. And he just put it right in the middle of her apartment where he's staying.
So this isn't your apartment. This is mine.
It's not an apartment. It's a condo.
All right, right there. Okay.
Right there, you want to hit him right in the face.
This is his sister who's letting him stay with her because he and his girlfriend broke up and he has no other place to live. Okay. He's just a big fat slug who just lays around just ordering her out. It's not an apartment. It's a condo is what he says to her, his hostess.
Spencer, this needs to leave tomorrow.
What do you really want me to do with this?
Get rid of it. I cannot believe this, Spencer. You're just like, what are you doing with your life?
What are you doing with your life?
No, seriously, you're sleeping on my couch. Are you even trying to get a job or look for a new apartment?
I'm getting a job.
I'm seriously going to call Dad and have someone get this. Spencer, I'm doing you a really big favor.
You're doing me a big favor by letting you sleep on your couch.
I've been really cool about it.
You have two bedrooms, and one of your bedrooms just has clothes in it. It's like ridiculous.
But I've been being so cool about this whole thing.
And when does the maid come?
You're looking at her.
Well, she needs to do those sheets on my couch.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's your boy. There's your boy right there. Is he the best?
Yeah, he's the best. He's good.
So Spencer's got to get a pretend job, like everybody else on the Hills has a pretend job.
I guess. You know, it's funny.
His job is being on the Hills.
I don't think he's just trying.
I was watching The Soup over the weekend, and I think Joel said when he was playing that clip back, he said, hey, Stephanie, Spencer has a job, and you're on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true.
I guess his job is being on the Hills, but he's the best. And he's got an advice column. He's telling other people how to live their lives. And that's what I love.
That's good, because he seems to have it all together.
He does, yeah. So we definitely have another round of Spencer the Love Dispenser on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to that.
Going to tell you about a 6-year-old drunk.
Yeah. Oh, no.
6-year-old drunk. Those words just don't go together.
Not often.
Except for in this story.
Wow.
We also were going to tell you about how the FBI can listen to your cell phone, even if it's off.
What's up with that, by the way?
Bad things. If people are listening to me talk when my cell phone's off, I'm in trouble.
Well, you're in trouble when people listen to you talk.
You know what? I think that disproves it. I think they would be arresting a lot of us if that were true.
I imagine that's the case, yeah.
But that's the report.
I just don't understand. I mean, I'm no, you know, technology expert, but I don't even understand how that would work if you're not connected to. I mean, I guess you're always connected to something if you have a cell phone. You're always connected to the cell phone tower, but I don't know how technically they could hear you through the speaker on your phone if you're not calling anybody. I don't even get that.
Well, we'll find out today.
Okay.
I guess they can activate your microphone and your cell phone to turn on even if your battery's off.
Really?
Wow.
And if that's true, we're in a lot of trouble.
Crazy. They've heard a lot of people singing badly to the radio over the years. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. We got some dude with some satellites coming up.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, who?
Some dude with some satellites.
You're not talking about the great Al Jessup, are you, from Beckley, West Virginia?
This is
my personal friend.
This is one of the least interesting, most horrible interviews that we've ever done, and Bean has been harassing us to get him back on the show.
This really,
he's awesome.
He is on the show today because Bean will not shut up.
This is just
he
for
has
us.
He beat us
yes,
down.
That's true.
For so long.
None of us think it's a good idea, but we're going to do it so he'll shut the F up. But this has to. There has to be some kind of an agreement here where we get like a certain amount of time off for having him on. You can't bring him up again tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, no, but I mean, how long's it been since he's been on the show? It's been at least
not long enough.
2.5 years, I think, since we've had him on.
And
if I have him on once every 2.5 years, that's not asking
too
much.
But what I'm saying is, you got to give us 2.5 years apiece.
Yeah.
You don't understand that
he can't start the campaign again.
He has 5,000 TV channels on the satellite in his trailer.
Right.
I think we do understand that.
We understand that,
Bean.
But you're not responding to our point, which is you got to give us some time off.
He rules so hard. When you hear him today, you're going to want him as a regular feature on the
show. Not going to be on until we get a written signature from you saying that you're not going to harass us with him.
Since I've been at the show, I've never seen Bean fight harder for someone to get on the show ever, at all.
My favorite guest of all time.
I can't believe it.
But he says that like I like bad.
Right.
You know, that's what he says, that as if he really means
it. But after a couple months of having everybody on the show like against you and yelling at you and stuff, you would give up. I've never seen Bean fight harder to have something on the show.
But I think clearly this goes beyond just I think it's funny. I mean, I drove 200 miles out of my way to visit this man in person.
That's great. Do that again. We don't need to put him on the air.
Maybe I will. Maybe Al and I will set that up when we talk today.
The Pope's coming to America.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Masculinist Coalition.
Yeah, that's
just trying to get off the ground. Just trying to appreciate men for men. Not happening.
Like Mike does.
Yeah.
And Harvey Levin from TMZ with the latest. I don't know if you heard about the Britney accident and all this.
I didn't, actually.
What's going on? Dear God.
Oh, Dr. Phil is in very hot water, Lisa.
What?
We love this story.
Dr. Phil is back in with Britney?
No, not Britney. These are separate stories.
Oh, okay.
But Dr. Phil is showing his true colors.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it's not going to go well for him.
Okay.
Which I love.
Me too.
So that's all coming up this morning. Let's take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
Yeah.
By the way, also Xbox 360 and Rock Band on this morning's show. We'll tell you about that coming up. And we've got red carpet world premiere passes to the Harold and Kumar movie on the way this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Too,
and we've got Tom Morello on the program.
And Tom Morello. What's up with that?
Good thing we weren't selling the show about 15 minutes ago and thought of all that stuff. It would have been good.
Instead of doing 20 minutes on Al Jessup, we could talk about Tom Morello.
Do you agree with me
somebody's actually interested in hearing from?
We need some kind of an ironclad agreement with Bean that he's not allowed to bring him up. I mean, that's
hell
the only reason.
To the mother effing yeah.
Only reason we're doing it. We'll draft the papers, Bean. We'll send them to you.
We'll have him on every Monday, and then we'll be done with it.
Right,
Ralph,
he's
what's
canceled.
Going on with you, man? How you doing?
You'll be hearing from our lawyers, Bean, regarding the Al Jessup fiasco that's up and coming this week.
He's the best.
He's not the best.
He's
the worst.
2 years older now than he was last time we had him on.
The reason Bean likes him is because he's the worst.
Because he tortures us, I know.
No, because I see my future. Because it's like looking in a mirror. That's
if that
where
were the
I
case,
hope
wouldn't
to end
you
up.
Kill yourself?
No, he's got the best life ever.
Living with his mom.
Well, she's got to be dead by now. I met the woman. She's so old.
10 till 6,
by the way.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's her.
And you guys made me turn down Eddie Money.
That's a horrible guess.
But worse than Al Jessup?
Right on that level.
Worse than Al. Come on. At least anybody did something once. What did Al Jessup ever do ever? Besides molest children and serve them ice cream.
What are you talking about? That's unfounded.
I don't think the molesting part has been proven.
Not yet. At all. Not even suspected.
Has anyone dug up his backyard? That's what I want to know.
Ralph has a theory that anyone who drives an ice cream truck is a child molester.
No.
I don't know where he gets that
theory
from.
Anyone whose entire career is nothing but ice cream truck driver is diddling kids.
And lives with his mother.
And lives with his mother. Yeah. Has never had, as far as we know, an adult relationship with a woman. Come on.
Something's going on there.
The writing's on the wall. Dude, only had one job, ice cream truck driver. What are you doing in West Virginia around February when your career is ice cream truck driver?
I got some ice cream in my basement, kids. Why don't you come down? I think there's a push-up under the couch.
By the way, Diddling Kids playing Weenie Rose. Very excited about that band.
Yeah.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's
you know we're all going to die this summer anyway, right?
We're dying?
We're going to die.
By when? How?
Did you read the LA Times article about this particle accelerator?
No.
The Europeans are firing up this summer?
Nope.
Yeah.
Is that the 25-mile one or whatever it is?
Yeah. They want to see how subatomic particles react to this particle accelerator. Mm-hmm. And there is one camp that has a theory that one of the side effects of firing this thing up is a black hole that would appear over the planet Earth and grow in size as it absorbed more mass and then eventually just suck us into it. And that would be the end of life as we know it.
And who's doing this?
The Europeans. Oh. Freaking Europeans. As usual, stirring things up.
So we're going to die?
Yeah.
Do you know when?
Okay. Sometime this summer.
Before this summer?
Oh. Sometime this summer.
All right.
Let's make a note to get someone on to talk about that. Because
that's BS, and I didn't vote. I didn't say, oh, go ahead, yeah, make the black hole. They didn't ask me, in my opinion. I live on this planet, too. Shouldn't I have a say?
In a perfect world, it would all happen before 9:05.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
If we did have to go, the black hole was going to suck me into the other side of the universe, I'd happily take it over Al Jessup.
Yeah, I agree.
But my fear is it will happen after that fact.
I rented Black Hole Volume 8 this weekend, and
I don't
it
think
seemed like a bad world at all.
That's the same thing at all.
I see.
Today's
celebrity birthdays?
Celebrity birthdays. No, the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's take a look at that list, shall we? Prom Night. Did very well in its debut weekend. $22.7 million made it number one. A lot of people made a date with Prom Night.
Wow.
Street Kings, number two at the box office. $12 million for the new Keanu Reeves cop movie.
I saw that.
How
did you now?
It
was okay.
Yeah.
And he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm skittish on him anyway. He could ruin a movie like he did...
That movie, they ruined
most of them.
Except for The Matrix.
But he was okay.
Did you see Little Buddha?
But it was just okay. You just walk out and go, okay.
All right.
Mm. You know those very smartly written cop dramas where some of them are bad, you know, and
right.
some of them
some
are...
Some corrupt most, cops, some good cops.
Yeah. All cops bad in this movie.
Everybody's corrupt.
Everyone. It's ridiculous. You get to the end, you go, all right. Not one straight cop, really?
Yeah.
Honestly,
they're
that's
gay
it.
Too?
No,
one straight
I'm not
cop.
Saying straight. I mean, straight and narrow.
Oh, I see.
I don't get to the movies often enough to be able to go to the ones that are just going to be okay. If I'm going to make the time and effort to go to the film, I've got to have a reasonable expectation that's going
to
be good.
Sure is a chore to go to the movies. You're right.
Well,
if I'm going to make the effort to go to a film.
Saying, you got
to
carve out some time, and my time is valuable to me.
But, no, you know, if you just go by what the critics say, then like you would never see Run, Fat Boy, Run, because the critics really hated it, and Ralph loved it.
Yeah.
But this one, not so good.
But, okay.
But he's not bad. He's better than usual.
But I heard that about him.
He really sold that.
and it's a lot on his shoulders, which is rare. Usually if a movie is a successful movie, it's in spite of him. And if it's not successful, it's because of him.
That was my boy Hugh Laurie.
Fantastic.
Is he great?
Yeah, he's always good.
He's the best. 21 was number 3 at the box office this weekend with $11 million. Nim's Island came in at number 4. Leatherheads. $6.2 million was good enough to make it number 5. Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who was number 6. Smart People in its debut. Not a lot of people going to see Smart People.
I'm going to go.
$4.2 million made it number 7 at the box office this weekend. The Ruins, superhero movie, and Drillbit Taylor rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
That's just not good.
Well, the list of celebrities whose privacy was invaded by the Snoopy staff over at UCLA Medical Center just keeps growing. And here, apparently, they found out who these people are. Have been
it's
looking
a bizarre
up
story.
Celebrities' records. LA Times did a story this weekend that said Britney Spears, of course, was one of their famous victims, as was Farrah Fawcett, Maria Shriver, John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, George Harrison of the Beatles,
Mariah Carey, Tom Cruise, these are all people who had their records improperly accessed by hospital employees.
So basically, they were just looking up information. There was no nothing was ever
selling it or
nothing
anything?
Was ever done with it.
Some stories, that some situations, they believe things were leaked
to
the press.
To the
Not
tabloids,
sold,
yeah.
but at least
heads up.
Heads up, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that how the Enquirer found out Farrah Fawcett had cancer, Ralph? Was
That's what I
these,
believe.
These
you know, yeah. They say the worst case, you know, there was some leaking of the stories. But sometimes, yeah, they would just look them up because they were celebrities and they were curious, I guess. Also on the list, Dom DeLuise, which just is unacceptable to me.
Because he's fat?
Yeah. What do you need to look up there?
Yeah, fat. Seriously.
I can tell you what his condition is.
It's fat.
That's how you search.
Yeah.
Fat.
You know, he's got those polio canes? Fat.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Ted Casablanca, one of the gossip columnists over at eonline.com, says that Rumor Millis, what? Rumor Willis has a feud going with Miley Cyrus. That's why I got confused. Try to say Rumor Willis and Miley Cyrus in the same sentence. Apparently, the daughter of Bruce and Demi Moore was overheard saying that Hannah Montana was a bitch. Ooh. Is so fake, annoying, and has no talent. Oh, it is on.
Wow.
She's going to bring her down.
It's on between Rumor and Miley. Whatever happened to girls like Jane and Sue? Whatever happened to those names? Rumor and
Bruce
Miley
Willis came
to
along.
Go at each other.
What has Rumor done, by the way, that she's criticizing Miley Cyrus's empire?
Good
Looked
question.
Like a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that.
Smokes. Got that going on for her.
Does
look just like
all
her dad.
All right, we get it. Poor girl's not her fault. She got belted bad genetic hand, that's all.
She did. Sad.
Your mom's Demi Moore, by the way.
Yeah.
And you look like
a dude.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heather Mills is just a bitch.
What a bitch.
No, really? But she's getting worse. You'd think now she's got her money, the trial is over, she would just go away.
How's it possible for her to get worse?
She's getting nastier. She was on one of the, they call them breakfast shows over there in England. It's like a Good Morning America, one of these Today shows, one of the morning shows.
Right.
And she was being interviewed, and she is just a bitch. Apparently, she was asked about Paul's new girlfriend. A young lady named Nancy Chevelle, who's apparently the heiress to a trucking fortune. Her family is in transportation and trucking.
Okay.
And she says, well, I heard he's got three new girlfriends, so I wish them all the best of luck. Better them than me.
I don't think that was a
so bitter.
Joke yet.
She said in response. And then there was that rumor that she poured a glass of water over the head of Paul's attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
in
that?
Court.
In
wasn't
court,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before she left the courtroom.
In court.
They asked her about that, and she said, well, she heard Paul's lawyer murmur something under her breath, so she cleansed and baptized her and thought she looked fantastic wearing a glass of water, she said.
Oh, good.
Wow.
He couldn't have gotten away from her faster.
Oh, what a bargain, too, at $65 million, whatever the hell he spent. I'd spend twice that. No, actually, what I'd do, I'd spend half that to get her murdered. That's what I would have done. Or twice that to get rid of her.
Sure.
One the other. Because murder's against the law.
That's not right.
No. Although, who would convict you?
No one.
No.
Not a person.
Especially not in England. Let's take a look at some new reality television news, shall we? Deion Sanders is getting into the world of reality TV.
Sorry.
That sounds unnecessary.
You know, Deion Sanders.
Primetime?
Primetime. Us Weekly Magazine is talking about their new reality show for Oxygen Network, Deion and Pilar. He and his wife have a new reality show. It's called Primetime Love.
What is it?
It's Tuesday. Starts tomorrow, April 15th, on Oxygen.
Lisa, he was a popular football player.
Baseball. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I do remember him.
He's the only player ever to play on every team in the NFL. I think he was on every single team.
No one wanted him?
No, because he just kept retiring and then going back and getting traded and, you know, free agency. But he played like half a dozen teams.
What's he doing now, though, that would make his life interesting enough for a reality show?
I think he's on the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's one of their analysts. Other than that, he's got a wife. Named Pilar.
On top of playing for every team, he's been on practically every cable network at some point. He used to host a outdoor show on the Outdoors Network. He did. He actually hosted Miss Teen USA one year.
Really?
Yeah, he's
wow.
He's out there.
Wow. So maybe you can check that out.
tomorrow night.
I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Hope the particle accelerator happens before that.
Maybe Oprah's running out of black people to put on her network. Maybe they've gotten down the list of Deion Sanders.
She's got that. She's got the Coolio show. That's going to be on her network. Yeah, apparently, that's her new niche.
Wow. Whoever thought we'd run out of black entertainers? You know, you thought that list would go on forever. At least I did. And remember when Mark Burnett used to have talent? The guy, the reality show king, Mark Burnett?
He used to be magical.
He used to, everything he touched would turn to gold.
Absolutely.
And
he
now,
still got Survivor, still a big hit, I guess?
Yeah.
That was his last good idea.
Still a big hit, too.
The early days.
How about My Dad's Better Than Your Dad? How about that? Did he get credit for that one?
Not at all.
How about his new reality show that's just been announced? Jingles. Where jingles. Contestants will write and perform jingles for a panel of judges. Jingles.
Dr. Zulu!
Jingles will be written for anything from groceries to clothing to a theme for a new TV show. Mark Burnett presents Jingles. Jingles!
Wow.
Maybe you're not hearing me. Jingles! A show about writing jingles!
I would like to suggest two names. Lightning.
Yes. And Omar.
And Omar. I mean, seriously.
I would like to see Omar on the show, too. That's the only thing they could save jingles for me would be Omar.
That's a horrible idea.
No, Kevin, but it's jingles.
All right, write a jingle for carrots. Go.
Is that how it works? Is they say, all right, you got to come up with 8 seconds on carrots. Go.
Yes.
Is that the show?
That's the show.
It's not a show.
They give you a product, you write a jingle for it, then you present your jingle in front of the panel of judges.
That's not a show.
Who's going to be judging? Mr. Whipple, the Jolly Green Giant? Who's going to be the judge of the jingles? Who's the jingle judge?
Can't tell you that.
The jingle judge.
We need to talk to him.
Must get Mark Burnett on. That's all there is to it.
We need to tell him not every idea that comes into your head is good.
Apparently he's been spoiled by the fact he's had like 3 or 4 hits in a row, and now he thinks everything. All right, jingles. Yeah, that's it. Jingles. People. I bet people will be interested to see people write jingles. Maybe fathers can write jingles while their kids are cheering them on. My dad can write a better jingle than your dad.
Yeah.
Christ's sake.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
What the hell is going on? Maybe, you know what? Maybe the particle accelerator is not a bad idea.
I'm saying, let's all give
it. Maybe it's time for us all to realize that maybe we're done. Maybe
just start
we're
over.
Just
let the next generation, let them.
Right. The next species, whatever.
Yeah,
comes
next
right.
generation gone with us.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brad Garrett. You know him from Everybody Loves Raymond and his new TV show called Mortgage Payment.
Yes, exactly. God, it's awful.
Wow, is that bad. He is 48 years old today. Anthony Michael Hall. Remember when he was in the 16 Candles? He was that nerdy kid?
Sure.
He's
sure.
like one of those guys like Jason, not Jason Patrick, who's the Patrick Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
Guys who were just total nerds when they were like these teen stars, just scrawny little geeky nobodies. And Patrick Dempsey grows up to be McSteamy.
Yep.
And Anthony Michael Hall is like this big, burly, buff dude now.
Yeah, you never even recognize him.
Yeah, he looks like a man. It's very strange. He's 40 years old.
And what's that show he's had great success with over the last few years on Sci-Fi?
Dead Zone. Huge hit for them. And a real good show, too. It was based on the Stephen King story and movie that starred Christopher Walken about the guy who could see people into the future when they would touch him and stuff.
Yeah.
Good show. Adrian Brody of The Pianist. Oscar winner, of course, for that role. He is 35 years old today. Debrat is 34.
Yes.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know her as Buffy. She is 31 years old today. And Abigail Breslin, Little Miss Sunshine, and currently Nim on her little island.
Mm.
Oh, Nim. Oh, Nim. Nim's 12 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So what you're saying is kids should wait till they're what, 10, 12? When do they start drinking in your house, Kevin?
Well, at least 10. Wouldn't
yeah.
you
okay.
think it's 10 That's too much to right. ask? I mean, you have to take a test to get a driver's license. You don't have to take a test to be a parent. And apparently right. in England, there was a person who was checked in for alcoholism who was 6.
Hey, he's accomplished more at 6 than a lot of kids have, I'll tell you that.
Not
a lot of
just,
kids got nothing on their resume.
Not
this
just
kid can say, look what I've been doing.
Didn't just show up drunk, but treated for alcoholism.
So yes. that means has been drinking for at least a couple of years.
At least 4 years, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Hull Royal Infirmary is the place in Britain that treated the youngster. And predictably, they don't give very many details about the kid. We don't know his name or what city he lives in or something like that. But somehow, producer Alex was able to line him up. And I believe we have the little guy on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, who's this?
This is Robbie.
Robbie, are you are you the 6 year old?
Yeah, I'm 6 years old.
Yeah.
How are you feeling now, Robbie? We heard you had a little stay in the hospital.
This is a mess.
Oh yeah.
I need a drink so bad.
How long have you been drinking? Like, at what age did you start?
Four.
Okay. Months.
Started at four.
4 months.
Four months. Whoa.
Mom and dad were busy, so they would give me a bottle to go to bed with of Jack Daniel's.
Really? Wow.
With a nipple on it. And I would drink it, and I would sleep for a week. And they liked that. So it's been a long time.
Wow.
When did you know, Robbie, that you had a problem? What brought you to the hospital?
Well, I started missing days at school, and that's when I thought, I can't take the pressure no more.
Wow.
And you have no idea how difficult long division can be.
Long division at six?
Yeah, that's the problem. It's too much pressure.
Oh, is that what it is?
Too much pressure on me. I can't take it. I've got problems with my girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend?
Yeah, she's seeing some other bloke in the class. I found them in the cloakroom.
Right.
I need a drink.
You're not supposed to have these problems yet. You're only six. You're not even supposed to have a girlfriend for 10 years.
I lost my license.
Okay,
your
wait
what
a minute.
License?
For my tricycle.
Oh. You have to get license?
The cops pulled me over. I was TUI, tricycling under the influence.
Oh, I know.
So okay. They pulled my license, and now how am I supposed to get to school now?
So no transportation.
No transportation. That's right. That's right. No transportation for me.
Well,
Robbie.
Why not walk or take the bus like all the other kids do?
Walk.
Yeah.
I can't walk drunk. I fall down.
Robbie, Do you ever think that maybe it's not the pressure that's driving you to the drink, but it's the drink that's causing so many of these other problems, and you're going to be a lot better once you get out of the hospital?
Nope.
Never thought of that.
No. This is a mess.
It is a mess. It's kind of sad.
Robbie?
You okay?
Nope. I need a drink.
No, that's the last thing you need.
That's what I need to make everything okay.
I think you need to separate yourself from the Jack Daniels a little by about, 10 years.
I just a beer. I don't even need Jack Daniels.
No.
Just a beer.
No, you don't.
How about some rum cake?
No.
No,
rum cake's
not good
a gateway
for you.
Cake.
How about...
Robbie?
Damn it.
You're just going to have to take life straight, my friend.
No, because listen, I got third grade coming up.
You have third grade coming up.
How am I going to handle that sober?
Robbie, you've got 80 years coming up. You need to pace yourself, youngster.
80 years. I'm an alcoholic at six.
Yeah, Robbie's not going
to
make it.
Who's living 20? To be 80?
Well, I think he'd like you to stop being an alcoholic, and then maybe you could extend your life a little bit.
But if I extend my life, then it's just more problems. Because then I'll have to have children, and then they're going to be alcoholics.
You don't have to do any of that.
And then I'll be an alcoholic parent to an alcoholic child.
Yeah, no one wants that.
No! That's just Scooby-Doo is so much more entertaining when you're drunk.
Well, that's probably true.
How am I going to watch Scooby-Doo sober?
Well, you'll just realize it sucks like the rest of us did.
Yeah. Robbie? You all right? Are you okay?
Robbie, this is sad. I wish there was something we could do for you, but we got to go.
This is a mess.
What happened
to Robbie?
This is a mess.
What happened, Robbie?
I
love. I love.
Drinking.
Drinking. Right.
Who used your voice?
I think if that happened to my voice at six, I'd do that too. It's pretty cool. You all right?
No. This is a mess.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a big mess. Most kids don't have this mess for quite some time.
I don't have any pubes.
I'm sorry?
Oh, my God.
You don't have pubes?
No.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Oh.
You're six.
Doesn't anyone talk to you about anything?
Oh, then I feel better.
Okay. Oh, God. Glad to hear.
This is a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Robbie, good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dr. Phil, how do you listen to people's questions all day long?
Oh, you know, occasionally I might drink a little bit. Well, actually, I drink with Xanax. Mm-hmm. Actually, I take 2 to 3 times what is prescribed for Xanax.
Right. Uh-huh.
And pour alcohol on top of it.
Wow.
And I've got 15 pill bottles with narcotics hidden under a shelf in a closet.
Well, that doesn't sound good. Hey, Harvey Levin.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Harvey.
Thank you for joining us, Harvey. Listen.
Hello.
This Dr. Phil, by the way, does he ever see a news story where he doesn't think, how can I get involved and get some publicity out of this?
Okay, let's give him some credit here. At a point, you can't keep doing shows on, I got to give this kid a time out. So, you know, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get newsier, but it's tricky. And he kind of got done in by a PA. Did you guys see the video?
Yes.
I don't know this story exactly.
Harvey, tell him the story about the kids and the videotape and everything.
Okay, well, here's the deal. There are some kids down in Florida. It was just this horrendous beating where they videotaped somebody getting beaten, and they put it on YouTube. So the authorities saw it. They ended up arresting, I think it was 8 people, and they're kids.
That's right.
And they're charged with all sorts of things. Well, one of the girls who allegedly did this was in jail. And the way the story goes, she got bailed out. And there are reports that, and this was on, I believe, AP, that Dr. Phil's, the show may have paid the bail. And the obviously to possibly get her on the show.
Oh, wow.
And so they're saying it was basically, you know, these were a couple of producers who were stepping out of line. But the way this whole thing unraveled was there was this kind of large guy who kind of walked out with her. And he was shielding her from all the other local reporters down there. And when they were trying to get shots, he was saying, you can't do this. You can't take pictures of her. Dr. Phil has an exclusive. Now I have the paper.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so what happened was people started looking into it, and that's when all of this stuff started, you know, these stories started coming out. And they pulled the plug on it, and the show said, well, look, it was basically a couple of people who crossed the line. Turns out that kid, he's like a PA there, which is, you know, the bottom level.
It's like an intern, right?
He doesn't have authority to do anything.
And it's like, how did this PA get in that position to be walking with that girl and saying this? So I think the show was horrified when they saw this kid. But, you know, it kind of, you know, undid the whole plan there.
But let me ask you that question, Harvey, because you put it so well. But what do you think the answer is? Dr. Phil is a professional. He's had a show that's been on the air for a number of years. How could they make such a silly mistake by not giving somebody who knows how to handle a situation like that the instructions on what to do? Why leave it to chance that an intern's going to screw it up?
Well, we did some work on this yesterday that will surprise you, I'm sure. And we talked to some people. They did send a seasoned producer down there along with this PA.
Right.
And I think the question is, why did the producer let the PA do that? I mean, they can't manage, you know, every step people take. But they did have, like, a seasoned guy down there. And what I've heard is they're pissed that the producer let this PA, because, you know, the PA doesn't know what to do in a situation like that. I mean, he's worked for 5 minutes on the show.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't know what you're allowed to say and not say. I mean, that's
right.
Something that kind of comes with experience. But
I mean, I got to tell you, when I was a PA, but I actually worked for an L.A. City councilman during the Herald Examiner strike.
Right.
And I was working for, I can say it, the statute of limitations is running. There's a guy named Ed Edelman. Remember him? He was a county supervisor. He was a city councilman, and I was like, I don't know, 19 years old, and the Herald Examiner was on strike at the time. And I walked down to the newsstand, and there were these scabs that were selling it, and they said, I need to buy a Herald Examiner for Councilman Edelman.
Nice.
Nice. And I got put on probation for that.
But Harvey, doesn't it sound a little bit, isn't it more likely, because I don't have the respect that Bean seems to have for Dr. Phil. I think he's a witch doctor. He's not any kind of doctor. He's horrible. I mean, he's the guy who went in, tried to get Brittany when she was in.
Hold on a second. I didn't say I had respect for him. I just said he's a professional. I'm surprised his organization would make a mistake like that. That's all I said.
yeah.
I mean, look, I mean, they're trying to get into news, clearly, and they're trying to do news stories, and news stories are tricky. But I, you know,
it's not worse than that, Harvey. It isn't worse than that. He's trying to get people out of jail for.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
come on.
That's the story is. I mean, if that's really true, you don't do that, because what you do is you end up becoming part of the legal case, because, you know, when you start putting somebody's bail up, then they're going to say things to you that may or may not be true because you helped them out so much, and you just don't go down that road.
Yeah.
So if they pay the bail, it's just a weird thing.
But he not only went down that road, he's done that many times, and that to me, that just looks like, I guess what Bean's saying professional is that he usually doesn't get caught like this, but doesn't it reflect really poorly on Dr. Phil?
Well, I don't think there nobody there is real happy today. I mean, I've talked to some people who have said, you know, they just can't believe that, especially that, you know, it ended up where this PA did what he did. I mean, go to the website and see this thing.
Yeah. Because it's awesome.
It's just unbelievable. And I shouldn't have said it, but we said that the guy was large and in charge.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
This is the voice, of course, of Harvey Levin from TMZ.com that we're talking to, and, of course, the TMZ television show that airs weeknights on Channel 11 at 6:30. Real quick, Harvey, before you get to your meeting, another accident for Brittany, but this one not her fault over the weekend. Or was
what?
It?
I thought it was her fault.
Why do you say that?
It was her fault.
Well, I understand that there's no charges, nobody got hurt, and it's already over with, right?
No, I have an update.
Okay, ooh. Okay. Let's hear more.
I have an update. So she's driving on the 101, and this 21-year-old kid who we found yesterday.
Of course. I'm surprised it took you so long.
He's checking her out as he's driving, because he admires her car, and secondly, he looks at her and he thinks she's kind of cute. So, like, she's doing her makeup in the car on the 101.
Oh, good.
Which one of my producers here endeared himself to all women by saying that's what all women do in Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
So 3 minutes later, she hits him from behind.
So he's looking at his rearview mirror going, hey, that's a cute girl.
And then realizes once he gets out of the car that it's Britney Spears.
Oh, wow.
How fast was she going when she ran into him?
No, it was like, it was not fast. It was like 5 or 10 miles an hour,
oh, okay.
Or something like that.
Not much
so it's like a fender bender. So, so they end up doing a field sobriety test on her. They make her touch her nose. And we checked with the CHP, and they said it was standard operating procedure to do that at 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday. They just do it now.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like she was under the influence, and she was going to dinner with her mother. And at first, with the cop, she was giggling a little bit and then got really serious.
Yeah.
But then we found out, so when we tracked the kid down, and he's seeing a chiropractor today.
Oh, sure.
So
of course he is.
What are you smelling there?
Oh, well, let me see. Payout. Lawsuit, yeah. Perhaps?
Well, if Brittany goes to jail, at least Dr. Phil will get her out. At least we got that to report. So,
well, but guys, I mean, the headline is this. I mean, you know, she had a rough time with her shaved head, and, you know, now guys are checking her out on the freeway even when they don't know who she is.
Yeah, well,
he's looking up for her.
You know what? Rearview mirror, though, and probably a little ways back. Come on, Harvey. You know some girls, you go, wow, oh. Maybe she's to that stage.
Good stuff. All right, TMZ TV, TMZ.com. Harvey, great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Bye, guys.
First, though, the Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message. We play it back on the air like this.
You know what? It was hot today, but I did learn something that I could drive my truck with no sandals on. With no sandals on.
No end to that. No end to the funny parodies on that song, I'll tell
you. Nope.
The Rachel Ray hate continues. This is the fat cooking show host.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they just showed a commercial of Rachel Ray for Dunkin' Donuts. I'm gonna punch her in the fat face.
I didn't even know Omar had a roommate.
Psycho Mike was on the air, I believe, on Saturday night, and he was talking about his love for the Dodgers. And it rubbed this fan maybe a little bit the wrong way.
Hey, Psycho Mike, F you freaking bitch. I just turned down f***ing front row Dodger ticket. You want to know why? You want to know why? The Dodgers suck. Angels rule. Angels rule.
Well, if you say it like that, then it must be true.
Got me there.
Yep.
We talked to George Takei last week, and he did a little musical number called
How Great Is Male Ass?
Psycho Mike, how great is male ass?
Please let us know.
Pretty sweet.
We tried to set another world record with Beer Mug for eating, and he is just destroying records left and right. Either that or he's nowhere near them. And this listener has a new suggestion.
Hi, I have a suggestion for Beer Mug's eating competition. Maybe he could have more success eating a big bag of Thank you. And I mean, like, penises.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
By the way, did you guys see a new eating world record was set over the weekend?
No. I'm not on the eating world record circuit.
Well, a bunch of listeners sent it to us because they know that Beer Mug is in quest for a world record. And I don't know about this one. 35 dozen oysters. in 8 minutes.
God.
Wow.
That would make you so ill.
That one sounds tough.
I couldn't even watch.
Let's make him do it.
35 dozen oysters.
Let's make him do
it. We just did the bananas. That was gross.
We did banana. We did peeps. He really just, it's a reverse, it's an instant reversal with him.
I think we should do powdered donuts and then oysters. I need a break from the gross.
All right. Well, I think like once a week, though, Mug's going to try to set a record. And he, what's awesome about him is he sucks at it. He's got no ability whatsoever. It'll never
think we're sorry. I don't think that is
I just wanted to check if we had a record.
I think Lisa would know more than we would.
All right.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you heard, we have a pretty bad 909 story coming out of here.
Uh-oh.
I guess they've been finding people behind Big Lots and Pick and Save dead with a spoon in their butt lying face down in a pool of milk. They think it's a serial killer.
I thought he was going for, what are you going to do, spoon me to death? That's where I thought that was headed.
Oh, we only wish.
Sir, did you hear about the guy that has no arms and no legs and contracted gonorrhea? His name is Bernie.
See, because go to YouTube and search for Cucamonga Heat. Yep. It is a college movie that our man Omar made, and it's really, really horrible.
Yes.
In a good way. And that's where we got this clip from.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double-cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so, yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right?
Good.
I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Yeah, Mr. Khan, listen. One of your associates, Eric, was just over here, and we were in the middle of a nice marijuana exchange, and all of a sudden he jumped up and made an X with his arms and screamed double cross. Then he took back the marijuana he was going to sell, and then he ran out of the house. I don't know what that was all about there. That was,
that's weird.
I don't know if I've done you some wrong in the past where it would warrant this kind of a reaction from you, but I don't know, man. Your guy, Eric, seemed real weird, man. I hope he got paid plenty. Anyways, I want to work on this, man, so give me a call, all right? I'm sure everything will be okay.
I find it very difficult to believe, but Kevin has a news story we'll be talking about after 7 o'clock this morning. Right after the news, about how the FBI can listen to your cell phone conversations when you're not having a conversation on your cell phone with anybody and your phone is turned off.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
It's not your cell phone conversations. They can just hear you talk. They can
activate. That's your conversation. Yeah, they're hearing through your cell phone, which is just unbelievable to me. So I don't get that technology, and I don't think I like it. But we'll talk about that coming up after the news at 7. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I heard they don't even need a cell phone.
Really?
They can just listen.
Well, if they're in the car with you, I guess they could.
No, they just concentrate really hard, and they just pick up our conversations.
Freaks. They're mind freaks.
That's what I hear.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Prom King. No, Street Kings and Prom Night. If they made a movie together, it would be Prom Kings.
Yeah.
But Prom Night was number one at the box office this weekend, $22.7 million.
Someone get killed in that?
I believe someone incurs some sort of physical damage in Prom Night, yes. I can't be sure from the trailer, but it looks as if there may be a potential for an assault case there.
Good.
It's not just dancing in photos and then going to Denny's after? That's not what this movie's about? Is that what you did with your prom, Bean? Did you go to Denny's afterwards?
I didn't go to my prom.
Of course he didn't go to his prom.
They didn't even invite him to his prom.
Don't tell Baxter. The prom is in June 5th. Don't tell Baxter. I might show up.
Wouldn't have made any difference.
Why didn't you go to your prom, Bean?
Bean, why didn't you go to your prom?
Because no girl would go with him.
I had a girlfriend. I had a girlfriend, a high school girlfriend through the whole...
Really?
Like 3 years, yeah.
And why didn't you go to your prom?
I don't remember. You know, maybe I did and I just don't remember it. I really don't. I don't remember. I don't think I went, but if I did, I don't know anything about it.
Doesn't seem like you're the type of guy who would go.
But I think when he was younger, he might have
maybe
been a little bit fun.
And if you have a girlfriend, she certainly wants to go.
Right. So maybe the pressure, you know, would make you...
Yeah.
Maybe. But I'm sure that there were people and there was fun and there was music and all the stuff. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like much fun to me.
What could that girl have been like?
No kidding.
She was awesome.
Pete's high school girlfriend.
No kidding. Wasted that 4 years.
She was young. She didn't know she had other options, you know? Think how happy she is now. Imagine the story she tells.
Oh,
every day.
You should have seen the loser I went out with in high school. What a Dorcas Maximus.
You have provided her with a lifetime of stories, though, Bean, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, she got the worst part of her life out early, you know, which is great. Mm-hmm. That
every guy
after
afterwards
that.
Just looked so good.
Yeah, maybe so.
Street Kings was number 2 at the box office. The Keanu Reeves cop movie made $12 million. This weekend, 21 made an additional $11 million, good enough to make it number 3. Nim's Island was 4. Leatherheads came in at number 5. Horton Hears a Who was 6. Then Smart People, in its debut, made $4.2 million, good enough for number 7 in the top 10. The Ruins, superhero movie, and Drill Bit Taylor rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
How about the basketball game?
sorry, Leslie. Superhero movie was only number 9. Celebrity sex video news.
Yes.
Or actually, in this case, celebrity sex film news.
Film?
Yeah. This is an oldie. An oldie but a goodie. This goes way back to the 1950s.
What?
But apparently, a 15-minute pornographic 16-millimeter film has just been sold starring Marilyn Monroe. Legendary sex bombshell Marilyn Monroe performing oral sex on an unidentified man. Was just sold to a New York businessman for $1.5 million.
He was riding dirty!
It's considered to be real?
It is real.
Wow.
The FBI, in fact, has confirmed as much. They got a hold of the film back when J. Edgar Hoover, the then director of the FBI, was trying to prove that either John F. Kennedy or Robert F. Kennedy was having an affair with Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
Because there was a legendary political battle between the Kennedys and Hoover, who was the head of the FBI when Kennedy was in office.
Could it be a Kennedy penis?
They're saying it could be. But unfortunately, the man's face is out of the frame of the camera, so you cannot identify who is the receiver of the gift.
Here's a question you may or may not know the answer to, Ralph, but is the person who bought the film, are they able to sell it, or are
they
still restricted from showing it?
Oh. But they are choosing not to.
What?
You're kidding.
The businessman who wants to keep his identity a secret says he's going to lock it up. I'm not going to make a Paris Hilton out of her. I'm not going to sell it out of respect. He wants this unseemly part of her history buried.
Wow.
What a dick.
So no, he's going to lock it away so that no one will ever see it.
He's got some Kennedy ties. That's what that is.
Perhaps.
Or he loves Marilyn.
Try and keep it out of the
maybe
spotlight.
He just loves Marilyn.
Yep.
And wants her image to remain unsullied by pornography.
Gay.
Doesn't he have an obligation to share, though, if you've got something like that? Come on.
Apparently there's only 2 copies. There's this one, which was a copy made by the guy who originally had the film, and then there's the FBI copy, which they apparently still have in their vaults.
Well, put that out, FBI.
FBI.
What are you doing with that? Put it on your website.
FBI, if you're listening. Wait a minute. Let me talk to my cell phone. Let me talk to my cell phone and see if they're listening.
Now, Marilyn was very much a goer, though. It's not like we don't already know that she was whoring it up all over the country, right,
yeah,
Ralph?
Right. But we don't have any video of it.
But how does it besmirch her image if we know she was doing it with anyone?
It's a little different if you know of someone's behavior versus seeing someone's behavior.
Yeah, it's better.
I understand that. But still, it would be very different than just knowing the history of her sexual liaisons versus seeing her perform oral sex on somebody.
I should force him to put this out.
My mouth is full.
That's America.
Good times.
Should force him to do it.
Why are you bad, America?
Apparently, it's a silent black and white film showing Marilyn on her knees.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Uh-huh. So, there you go. There's your celebrity
the film you'll never
sex
see.
Film news right there.
Really? $1.5 million just to be a good guy so it doesn't get out. Come on.
Yeah. I'm bummed.
Really?
Yes. Angelina Jolie still won't speak to her father, John Voight.
Really?
John
really?
Tells
really?
John tells Us Weekly magazine that he's trying desperately to reestablish a relationship with his daughter, but she will have none of it.
Unbelievable.
He says nice things about her at every public opportunity. He says she's terrific for all her charity work. He's excited about her latest pregnancy. He is sending his love to his family. But she has never forgiven him since he stated in a 2002 TV interview that he believes his daughter had severe emotional problems. And that was it. She cut him off ever since and hasn't spoken to him since 2002.
You know,
that's like nine kids ago.
Ticked.
She did have some emotional problems.
She
used to cut herself. It's not that crazy.
She used to carry blood around in a vial of her nutty husband. They used to beat each other up during sex and throw each other up against padded walls in the special room they had made.
Maybe a little reality check here.
I don't know why she's so cheesed off. Maybe he shouldn't have said it publicly. But
everyone knew.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise. I guess you don't want your dad saying it, though.
Yeah.
But don't you forgive your dad after 5 years goes by? I mean, he's going to die one day and you'll have never made up.
When you've got kids and you would like some grandparent involvement, you think. Yeah. And her mother just passed away, so you think this is the last parent she's got living.
Yeah.
Although they had a dicey relationship because he left her mother apparently early on when she was a kid.
So they were never close.
There. Yeah, there's some history there.
Well, that makes sense.
So you never know why people do things, but it just seems sad to me.
He seems like a tool.
And more celebrity family news. Brooke White, one of the contestants on American Idol, had to miss her sister's wedding over the weekend because she couldn't get out of American Idol rehearsals.
Aww.
That seems like it sucks.
Yeah.
Sister's wedding.
Yeah. Apparently, the family had to make do with a cardboard cutout of her at the ceremony.
Really?
Much like we do with Bean.
That seems lame.
When we do public events, Bean often comes along in cardboard form.
Being on TV is more important than your sister's wedding.
Well, the producer of American Idol, Nigel Lithgow, says it's just one of the sacrifices you have to make if you want to be a star.
God.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Sure. You can't be a star and go to your sister's wedding. You can't do both.
I heard an interesting story once. Remember that old show, TV show Dallas?
Yeah.
Larry Hagman as J.R. Ewing. It was a big TV show back in the 80s. Victoria Principal, who played Pam Ewing on that show, made her a big star, missed her sister's wedding to go on the audition. She either could go to the audition or she could go to her sister's wedding. And she said to her sister, look, I hope you understand, but I could get this TV show. I have to do it. And the sister was really pissed off at her. Then she did the audition, got the series, and her sister forgave her.
How about that?
Because then she was rich and famous afterwards. So it happens. But if Brooke White loses American Idol.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Abigail Breslin, the little girl from Little Miss Sunshine. Of course, she's in Nim's Island, currently in theater. She's 12 years old. Sarah Michelle Gellar turns 31 today. DeBrat, the rapper, is 34 years old. Adrian Brody from Pianist. Come on, guys.
I said penis.
He is 35 years old today.
Maybe next time you could say Darjeeling Limited.
That's what I'll do. I'll pick another film.
Okay.
Hollywood Land. He's 35 years old today. Anthony Michael Hall is 40. And Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond and his new show called Hey, I'm Back on TV on Fox. What's it called?
That's it.
Till death.
That's it.
Yeah. That's uplifting.
He's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There was a report on Fox News from the host, Paul
Shepard Smith.
Shepard Smith.
Oh.
I don't know.
How did I get Shepard Smith out of Paul?
His name, by the way? I've been working with Kevin Duval.
Yes, you have.
And it's a little shocking, and we need to find out if this is actually true, if you have any information about this, and if so, how does
it
work?
Wait, was it on Fox?
It was on Fox.
Then it might not be true.
Cell phone users, beware. Big Brother may be listening.
Now, this is a constant problem with the whole thing with terrorism and the government and listening in on your phone calls. If this is true, I think maybe this is bad.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation can now hear everything you say, even when the cell phone is turned off.
Okay.
Now, when you saw that, you're the one who brought this tape in. You were sitting there watching the news, and you saw that. You had to, in your mind, go, no way. You have to just stop and go, that's just not possible that technically can even work, right?
I rewound it so that I could hear him say it again, because when your cell phone is off, it's not like they're tapping your phone. and they hear your phone conversations. They're right. saying when the phone is turned off, there's no power to it.
So in other words, if Lisa's got her cell phone in her purse like she does right now,
yes.
according to this report, the FBI could be listening to what the conversation that we're having in this room during
yes.
the songs.
Yeah.
That's even if her cell phone is off.
Because it
is. We need somebody to call who knows about technology and tell us if this is for reals.
I know it sounds kind of out there, but using your phone's tracking device, authorities can now activate the microphone inside the dreaded thing, allowing them to eavesdrop on you and your conversations. And the FBI used this form of surveillance to keep tabs on critical conversations by people they call known members of the mafia. Experts say the only way around it is to take the battery out.
Got to take the battery out of your phone. You can't just turn it off.
That makes no sense.
They said that they did this when they were trying to bring down the mafia in New York. Mm-hmm. The mafia started learning about wiretaps, so they wouldn't talk on
regular phones,
landlines. They would talk on the cell phones. And then so then they had to go get permission, I guess, to be able to do this. They call it a roving bug. And basically, if your cell phone is off but the battery's still connected, they can turn on the microphone.
Call us at 1-800-520-1067. Let us know if you know about this, if you can share with us how something like this works. You remember my friend, the space commander, my wacky friend with all the conspiracy theories from a couple of years ago? You remember
yes.
that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, he and I were having a conversation one day where he was telling me how you should never, ever, ever get one of those GPSs in your car. For the exact same reason that he said the government had the ability to listen in to what was going on in your car if you had one of those GPSs. That was part of what they were doing.
How do they listen in on a GPS?
I don't know.
Makes
I guess
sense.
I guess because it's connected to a satellite, just like the cell phone is connected to a cell tower. I guess as long as there's some sort of connection between your car and somewhere else, there's some way to intercept it, in his mind anyway. That sounded crazy to me at the time.
Yeah, it still does.
This is just as crazy, though, as far as I'm concerned. To me, this is still just blowing my mind.
Well, here's the weird thing. I did some research, and our producer Alex did some research, and it's really – there's no – it came and went. The story kind of came and went about 3 or 4 months ago, and there was no
– outcry?
No outcry. There was nothing proving it wrong.
Do you think the government stopped people from printing the story?
I don't know.
Like they went to Fox and said, if you do this, we're yanking your FCC license. Don't say another word.
I can't imagine.
No, I can't imagine either. Although, these days.
Yeah, one more year.
I don't know, guys. This is just...
Is it possible? First of all, is it possible?
Well, that's what we have to find out.
That's the question. Because if it's possible, then it's probable. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, that's true. All right, let's think about this for a second. Let's say they know your cell phone number, Kevin. This story would have us believe that there's a switch they can flip or something that will turn the microphone on in your phone?
Here's how I know that's not true. If my phone's off and they can activate the microphone and listen to my conversations, I would have been arrested by now. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Well, only if they were listening to you. Why would they be listening to you? You aren't one of their targets.
Yeah, I guess there's no possible way they would have the time.
They can't listen to everyone.
The resources to listen
to everyone. It would be somebody who's already in their crosshairs, somebody who they're already investigating that they would use as something like this. But I still don't understand the technology. I still find it very difficult to believe.
If you disconnect the battery, they can't do it. But as long as your cell phone has a battery in and it's off, they can listen to any conversation they want. That just seems not good.
Chris is in Irvine on line 8. Let's see what he's got to say. Apparently he has info on this for us. And I knew that somebody would. Chris, you work kind of in this field, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Hello?
Go ahead. What field do you work in?
Telecommunications.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Is this possible?
Yes. It actually does happen. All they have to do is turn on a certain part of the cell phone.
But how do they do that remotely?
How do they do that from where they are?
Whenever your cell phone is on, it's constantly – whenever your cell phone is activated, it's sending out a signal. So when you turn it off, it still knows about where you were.
Right.
So then from the cell site, it just sends a little signal out, and it can activate that piece of the cell phone. I'm sure when you sign the agreement with the company, there's something in there that says they can do this.
You think in the small print someplace it says, oh, by the way, the FBI can turn on the microphone even when your cell phone's off? I hope you're cool with that?
Well, no, it's not like that, but we have other forms of surveillance, too.
Who's we?
The company.
Like what?
Company. Like, capital T, capital C.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of like a three-way call that we typically use. This isn't something that they would normally use. Usually they would just three-way call into your conversation.
And they can do that whenever they want.
Yeah.
So as long as you're on the phone with...
Yeah, but that's while you're actively talking.
Yeah.
That's why they say
you have to take out the battery.
Okay, but Chris, let me ask you this. How is... let me see if I can phrase this correctly. Why was a feature built into the cell phone that allows the microphone to be turned on remotely? It seems like that's something that would have to be specifically built for that purpose. It wouldn't automatically just work.
Yeah, no, it is specifically for that purpose.
Then why did cell phone companies do that?
No, it's not the cell phone companies. It's the cell phone manufacturer.
Okay, why did they do that?
I don't know. I mean, there's a whole bunch of features on the phone, the phone that you probably don't know about.
What other features are there that we don't know about?
No. I don't know them specifically, but...
But you think there's
a lot. So you are saying that when the phone is turned off, they can somehow hear people talking right there by the phone?
Yeah. Because even with the battery in, you're still making a connection, so it has some sort of power.
You still have... When you turn your cell phone off, it's still making a connection?
Yeah, the battery's still in there. It still has available power.
Right, but it isn't being accessed.
Well, yeah, no, just because the cell phone's, just because you haven't powered the thing on, I mean, that's fully functional when you hit the power button.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Chris sounds shaky.
But then my battery would run down even when my phone was off, which it doesn't.
Or does it?
No, minimal power, yeah. Because what about, like, your iPod? If you don't power your iPod for a week, it's going to have less power.
Right, it kind of leaked power.
Yeah, exactly. This is the same concept.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Chris. You're effing shaky, but we appreciate the call. We have a bunch
of calls, and sadly, they seem to be agreeing with Chris, but I want to find out more. Do we have time? Can we take a break and come back? Because
we have a couple of people that work in the defense industry.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
And we're going to find out, A, if it's possible, and then B, what do we do? We'll take your calls now. We're talking about this.
Cell phone users beware, Big Brother may be listening. The Federal Bureau of Investigation can now hear everything you say, even when the cell phone is turned off. I know it sounds kind of out there, but using your phone's tracking device, authorities can now activate the microphone inside the dreaded thing, allowing them to eavesdrop on you and your conversations. And the FBI used this form of surveillance to keep tabs on critical conversations by people they call known members of the mafia.
All right. Good times.
Now, this is really getting interesting because we got a full bank of calls. Some are saying it's absolutely possible and used all the time. Others are saying it can't be done. So
that's good.
So I don't know that we're going to know any more after this conversation than we do now, but where do you want to start?
Let's start with Frank in Ladera Ranch. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I just want to let you guys know that it's not possible. There's no mechanism in the infrastructure that can allow an administrator to tap a line.
It's not possible.
Location. It is not possible. Anytime your cell phone is on, not making a phone call, when it's on, it's constantly talking to the infrastructure saying, I'm here. I'm ready to make a call.
Right, but when you turn it off.
When you turn the phone off, that means it's no longer transmitting. There's no mechanism that can say, hey, phone, go ahead and open up a voice channel and listen to the ambient noise.
Frank, you hold on for 1 second. Let's go to Kent, who is calling from Redondo Beach. Kent, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Oops, sorry, that's Aaron. Hang on, Aaron. I didn't want to get to you. Hang on. Let's go to Kent. Kent, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May. How are you doing?
Good.
Now, you work in the defense industry.
Yes, I do. I was in the Air Force for 4 years, and I am a defense contractor now.
And
the official security guidance is to lock your cell phone up outside of any room you're having secure conversations in, or to pop the battery out for that very reason.
No kidding.
Now, Frank, what do you think about that?
Okay, I think what he means is that there may be a mechanism for somebody to wire a particular cell phone to be able to transmit on command. But if you go to the store and buy an iPod or an iPhone or a BlackBerry, there's no mechanism already built in that phone.
Oh, okay. I see. So, gotcha. So Kent, your people in the defense industry are just saying don't do it because it's one of them might be already rigged up that way.
No, they say any cell phone, there is a vulnerability that somehow, some way, they can switch the microphone on, and whether it's China listening overseas or whether it's the FBI listening to people, doesn't matter. They're afraid the microphone's going to get turned on and sensitive information's going to get
of course,
unintentionally disclosed.
But that would make sense if you were just wanting to make triple sure that you don't accidentally hit a button with a cell phone in your pocket, as has happened to all of us, and you're transmitting, you know, because the phone is on, you don't even realize it. I mean, that's just, that makes common sense to me. I don't think that really addresses what we're talking about at all.
You know, I agree with you. It makes common sense, but that is what they tell us. They say the microphone could get turned on accidentally.
Accidentally. Yeah, it just might happen. Just somebody might hit a button and somehow your cell phone goes on.
It's happened to me 100 times, Kevin. Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah, but no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it's off. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's say good morning to George in Beverly Hills. Good morning, George.
Hey, good morning.
You heard the last two callers. Not possible and possible.
Yeah, all I could tell you is that I worked in Europe for a while, and we used to move contraband around.
Uh-huh.
And this is like 4 years ago already. And when we were in like... I know for a fact in, like, England, Italy, and France, they can definitely listen to you. And I know it's Israeli technology. And one time we actually did a stopover in Tel Aviv. And there was this one guy, he used to work in a, he was a former, like, member of an anti-drug unit. And right before we got there, they had busted a whole bunch of guys, and that's how they caught them, was through cell phones. And
okay, but you're not talking about listening to their cell phone conversations.
No. Yeah, those conversations.
Oh, well, that's different.
But when the phones are on or off.
If the phones are
off, we always would have to take the cell phone batteries out of the cell phones, because that's what they told us. If the battery's in the cell phone, they can hear everything you say.
That's pretty cool.
There you go.
By the way, I don't have – I got some good stories in my life. I got no stories that include the words, I was working in Europe moving contraband around. I don't have those stories. That's awesome, George.
You should start.
No kidding.
All right. Let's where do you want to go?
Let's go to Crystal in Thousand Oaks, because I love the way her mind works. Hey, Crystal, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi.
I think it's ridiculous. I don't think it works at all, because there are way too many child molesters running around in the world. They should be able to track these people down. If this technology, if this is true, there'd be no criminals. You know what I mean? Everybody would be caught.
Well, there's just not enough man hours to do something like that.
But if, like, you think about the people that are on FBI.
But this story, but wait a minute, this story came to the public because they were using it for the mob in New York.
I don't understand. Like, okay, take for instance that guy that was in Vegas not too long ago. They found that videotape of that poor little girl being molested, like miserably molested, and it took them months to find this guy. Surely he had a cell phone. I'm just saying, like, if there are dangerous criminals like that running around, these people have cell phones. They have bills in their name. It should take the FBI no longer than, 30 seconds to flip the switch?
Well, I think they do track a lot of people based on their cell phone, based on honing their cell phones. A lot of people, though, recognize that that's a danger and don't carry a cell phone, or they buy one of those little track phones that can't be traced or something like that. I mean, there are ways around something like that, but what you're talking about is completely different than what we're talking about.
I like what Crystal's talking about. She's just guessing.
Which is listening in on conversations when you're not even on the phone. That's what takes this to a new element. But thank you for the call, Crystal.
Let's go to Aaron in Pasadena. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
I do believe it is possible. I just recently got an email. There are other things that can happen as well.
Like?
I found out there's a way you can unlock cars through your cell phones. Like, let's say you lock your key in your car, and someone at home has the spare, you know, those little unlock buttons that we have on our keychains now.
Right.
If you hold your phone up to your door and you have somebody unlock it, you can unlock it through the phone.
Come on, Aaron.
No, I'm serious. I have the email. If you can give me your email address, I'll give you
Bean at krock.com.
Bean at
krock.com.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bean at krock.com.
Okay, and also, there's also a backup battery in all our cell phones. If your battery ever goes dead, you can punch in a certain code, and you get like 50% backup battery power on your phones.
Why wouldn't they tell us that?
How do you know this?
It came through an email. Like I said, I will send you
a email. Well, if it comes through an email, it's got to be true.
All right, thank you, Aaron.
By the way, I'm getting $200 an email of emails that I forward to Microsoft. It's so cool. They're paying me now just to test out a new email program. It came in an email, so I know it's true.
It came in an email. That's right.
All right. Well, I think we've settled this one then.
So what's
the answer?
I think
we got to the bottom of this one.
Throwing my cell phone in the toilet.
Yeah,
that's the answer. Yeah. Ralph, you funded that organization down on the Pitzer campus, Go Game Hens. Am I right about that?
Go Game Hens. I am proud to be one of the sponsors of the Masculinist Coalition on campus at Pitzer. And I wanted to get an update from their leader, Dashiell Driscoll, because a lot's been going on with the organization. You know, last time we spoke with him, they couldn't get any recognition or funding from the Senate of the school.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people protesting the Masculinist Coalition, most notably the Feminist Coalition, and other people who equate them, get this,
to the KKK and the Nazis.
Masculinist Club?
Yes.
That's insane.
Why?
Well, let's talk to Dashiell and find out.
Dashiell?
Hi, good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Dashiell.
Morning, buddy.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. We were, it's not totally fair to say we were directly compared to the KKK and the Nazis, but someone in Senate did say our name was equally offensive. It was like someone saying they wanted to start a KKK or Nazi group.
Because you're the masculinists.
Really?
Because we're masculinists.
When did masculine become a bad word?
Good question, it's not, Lisa.
It's not maybe about the same time feminist became a bad word.
A lot of gender studies at Pittsburgh teach masculinist as a negative term. It's a, there's like a Merriam-Webster definition. I mean, if you Google it and read Wikipedia, which I think is where we all get our information from, hopefully.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's all positive and on the up and up. But a 1918 definition says it's a movement for male dominance, and some people found that offensive. Even though that's not what we're about.
I see.
By the way, I think there should be a little bit more male dominance in this society, in my opinion. All right, listen, Dash, big news, big news. Even since the time we booked you to appear on the show, between then and now, do you have anything to announce that may have happened at your school over the weekend?
I have something huge to announce that last night at Pitzer Student Senate, we were finally given official recognition as
And that really loud music means that's good news.
Okay.
Can we talk to our guest, please?
Oh, wow.
Too loud?
Wow.
So that's good. Now, what does that mean for you in the group? What makes things different now that you're recognized?
Well, I think the main thing that will be different is a lot more students won't be so afraid to show up to our meetings, because I know there's been so much hostility surrounding us that now we're sort of officially recognized that I think it cuts tension for some students. And also it provides us access to potential funding from the school. We still haven't received that yet, but at least it's an option now.
Okay,
and
I got you.
It just makes it more legitimate. It's great. We're on the website now. That's the big thing.
Wow.
That students can read about us.
Now, how many times did you have to go to the Senate, Dash, before this happened?
This was my fourth consecutive time attending Student Senate.
And they turned you down the previous three times.
The first time it was unanimous, and the second, the next two times we sort of got more and more votes each time. There was actually another men's group that applied for the first time last night, which was he's a member of the Feminist Coalition. He wanted to sort of start what he considered to be a positive men's discussion group, a little less activity based than what we're proposing.
Well,
and he got approved unanimously.
Sure.
Right,
that sounds
that.
Gay, is what that sounds. Hey, Dash, before
Any
we talk...
Any guy is a member of the Feminist Coalition, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He's never getting into the Masculinist Coalition.
I hope not. Hey, listen, before we talk about your big meeting this week and your Man of the Week, which I'm fascinated with, what did you do exactly with Ralph's generous donation of $150 after the last time we had you on, Dash?
Ralph's donation actually, he gave $200 to Chris.
Whoa!
$100 bills. I was blown away.
Yeah.
What I did was I took $1 and bought a frame from the 99-cent store and put his letter on my wall. And some of that money has been used for slip and slides.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Man juice, which is a palatable blend of Kool-Aid and ice.
Yeah.
Maybe some lemonade in there.
Yeah, maybe some vodka in there.
We wouldn't do that.
No.
Of course not.
You would... drinking on college campus.
None of that money went to the drinking, right?
No.
All right.
Not drinking anything alcoholic.
Right. Well, then I would like a refund if none of it went for booze.
Send it back. That's what it was for.
This week, you—I don't know if you call it a resolution or just a mention or what. Tell me about the man of the week. Tell me about Jahangir and how that came up in the Masculinist group.
Jahangir, my friend and roommate and vice president currently, he learned about Jahangir in a class, and he decided to apply some of that knowledge to the real world. This was a guy who trained gazelles to fight each other and was ruling armies at the age of 12. He was a badass dude, and we nominate someone every week for Man of the Week. He got it
for training what?
Gazelles
to fight,
Kevin.
Gazelles to fight each other?
Can you make gazelles fight?
No!
That's what I thought. John Deere could.
He was leading armies at the age of 12 and taking over countries, and also he had this method of hunting where he would sort of fence animals in and get them closer and closer, and then spear them from the top of an elephant at a very young age. It was pretty impressive.
What were you doing when you were 12, Kevin?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner?
That's what I
thought. Sure, yeah. See, this is why your group needs to exist. It's because we need to learn about guys like Jahangir, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
He tied with Charlton Heston, by the way, for Men of the Week.
Yeah, wow. We always nominate, too. Ralph got his nomination right after the check cleared.
I'll bet he did.
And that passed?
I bought my Man of the Week award.
What is this in the minutes I see about you guys talking about zombie porn? What's that about?
Oh, yeah. There's a... I mean, you got to be safe out there. The internet's a scary place.
You think?
And, yeah, yeah. And you can just start watching some random porn and not really know what you're getting into if you don't pay attention to the title and exposition.
Right.
And you can wind up with some really frightening imagery, you know, late at night or in the middle of the afternoon that might... I don't know. Might really
whatever you're watching porn.
How did this come up in your meeting, though? Just, hey, guys, well, watch out. Be careful.
Heads up to the other members, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, members can show up with anything they want to talk about. Hopefully visual aids if it's something that specific.
Sure.
But, yeah, you know, members, it's really members can talk about anything. We also talked about, you know, making Mother's Day cards at the same meeting.
But, Dash, I just got to get back to the zombies. If you go to Two Girls, One Zombie, I mean, you have to expect that something like this is possible.
It was in no – if there was any sort of URL disclaimer, it was surely missed.
Dash, also I wanted to talk to you about, and this is the reason I really wanted to book you, have you back. Please tell us about the altercation you had with one of the members of the Feminist Coalition at the third Senate meeting when you guys went for approval.
Right, yeah, I emailed you about that. So after our third time at Senate, I went up to the Pitcher Feminist Coalition, who has, after this incident, they sort of removed themselves from the whole dialogue. They've been vocal protesters at every student senate, and after I saw them, I tried to go up to them and say, look, you know, I know you guys were here every week. There are obviously issues with this. Let's talk about it, and let's, you know, not antagonistically, but just trying to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sort of disbanded, but one member stuck behind, and things got very heated to the point where she was saying that all she wanted to do was punch me in the face, and the only thing preventing her from doing that was the fact that she wanted to graduate.
It's the only thing that kept her from punching you in the
wow.
face.
Wow, are you lucky? Good thing she needed to graduate.
Well, that's what concerned me. Is she's graduating very soon. She'll be here next year.
Yeah.
Coming back as a vigilante feminist.
Wow.
Well, it's good to know that they've got their priorities in the right place and they want to punch people out.
To settle
their discrepancies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was part of the group. I mean, she was, you know, speaking out against us minutes before. And I think a group of kids tried to get me suspended, like, the previous Saturday for... I guess what they considered sexual harassment just by me being on radio shows like this, which you guys were called misogynistic and homophobic in Student Senate. I don't know if you're happy about that.
Cool. I had no idea. I wish we had known. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. We finally arrived. That's great news.
You guys are big at Pitzer.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to hear that the Masculinist Coalition is now official and recognized. And we got to figure out, guys, it's been a long time since we've had some sort of a toga party or anything like that. We may need to visit. I think there may be a visit in our future to Pitzer. Don't you guys agree?
Yes.
I just want to yell at Shenanigans so we can sing Final Countdown by your
Well, we would love to have you guys as visitors anytime you want. Please don't hesitate to let me know. I'll be happy to make room on the couch.
All right. Dash, you got a website or anything for people who want to get in contact with you or check out what you got going on down there?
Yes, sir. It's Masculinists, Masculinists.org.
Okay.
Dash, keep fighting the good fight, man.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye. I think it's over.
Oh.
So yeah. You get Jack Johnson on the Friday night headlining, then Prince on the Saturday night, and then Roger Waters from Pink Floyd on the Sunday night. You can't accuse Coachella of not mixing it up, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to talk, by the way, to the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, who was headlining last year at Coachella.
Wow. We're
going to talk to Tom Morello coming up just after the top of the hour. He's a serial troublemaker, that guy.
I wonder if he has any causes he'd like to talk about.
Not usually.
I wish he'd be a little more active.
He's content.
Take a stand, Tom. Take a stand.
The world is perfect.
He does.
Everything's going in the right direction.
He's very happy. He's so complacent. You know, he just wants everything status quo. He just likes things the way they are all the time. It makes me furious.
7:57, Tom Morello coming up, plus Spencer the Love Dispenser will be here. Right now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's going on, Argar?
Britney Spears is on track to pull off one of the biggest career comebacks in history.
Really?
She's been setting this up the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we just got sucked in like the fools that we are.
She's got us right where she wants us.
Oh, we are dominoes, and she is just about to start knocking us over. This all according to Larry Rudolph, the super manager who quit on Britney, but has since reconciled with her and is now back with her.
Really?
Yes.
Now, okay. He quit on her because she started getting all crazy on him, though, right?
Right. And now that she is getting back into some sort of usable condition, he's back on board.
Britney Spears, what about her?
He says that Britney is in, his words, great shape.
Yeah.
He says, and again, I quote, everyone is rooting for her.
Sure.
And lastly, calls her, my final quote, the world's greatest entertainer.
Come on. He's got to be kidding.
The world's greatest entertainer.
Oh, that was just silly.
Listen. Okay, listen. Back even before she was crazy,
yeah,
when she was just hot and fine, she sang and danced okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
She was fine. It was
yeah, she was decent at choreography. Cute. She had a very thin voice. She
could move around, sang some pleasant songs, made some hot videos. That's as good as it got for her.
It was the top of the mountain?
That was it.
She's about to go higher, Ralph.
Let's not get nuts. World's greatest entertainer. Come on. Come on.
He has to be kidding.
I don't think he is.
There's no person that could say that seriously.
Well, apparently he did.
All right.
If you were going to rank entertainers, Ralph, where would Britney come in on your list?
I don't... 27th?
Maybe.
If it's just living entertainers, maybe 27th. Yeah. All-time okay. Entertainers? 401, I say.
Not top 400?
Glancing at my list, no. Yeah. Just under this, just bubbling under the top 400. I'd have to
Sounds
say.
Like a joke to me. It really does. I mean, I can't imagine anyone would say that seriously.
Interview with Larry. Huh. Yeah. Tom Cruise is allegedly ticked off at his wife's girlfriend, Victoria Beckham. The London Daily Mail says Tom thinks that Victoria has too much influence over Katie Holmes' life.
Ah.
That's my job, Tom screamed.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I made that part up. Particularly because Katie has gotten very thin after following Victoria's strict diet plan, which includes, this is what she eats all day, edamame beans.
Yeah.
That's a staple of that diet. Seaweed shakes.
Mmm. Sounds good.
How come McDonald's isn't offering those? And eating frozen grapes. That sounds like a good time.
Doesn't sound like a diet, I'll tell you that.
They could have some food, both of them.
How about some food?
I mean, really, they could bulk up a bit.
Really?
Too skinny.
Just some food.
Well, food. Eat food.
What are we saying? Eat food?
Yes.
And I got to talk about it again. Mark Burnett. Legendary.
Best idea ever.
Legendary producer of famous smash hit reality TV shows. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Has announced his latest idea. Following on the heels of My Dad is Better Than Your Dad, Mark gives us his brand new idea for a reality show. You ready for it?
Yeah.
It's called Jingles, in which contestants will write and then perform their jingles for a panel of judges. Jingles will be written for anything from groceries to clothing to a theme for a new TV show. The jingles will then be performed in front of a panel of judges who will decide who moves on in the 8-episode series.
Really?
Entitled Jingles.
It's an online thing.
I beg your pardon?
It's an online thing. I mean, this can't be TV.
According to a Hollywood Reporter, this is a TV show.
Wow.
Really?
So in other words, can of peas go, and then somebody's got to sing a little 30-second song about how great those peas are?
Peas are green, and they're small, and they're easy to eat.
No.
Fork or spoon, they're really neat.
No.
Judges, what did you think of that jingle? I thought that jingle was great. I didn't like that jingle at all.
I thought that jingle
was just okay.
I'm going to go buy some peas right now.
Jingles! Coming.
That's not true either, Ralph. You're making stuff up today. You're making stuff up.
Jingles.
You're making stuff up.
Your jingles seemed a little pitchy, dog.
Britney Spears is the world's greatest entertainer, and Jingles, I predict, will be the world's greatest television show.
Wow.
How do I get Fools to already. Be a judge on Jingles?
We
can we talk to Mark Burnett so I can beg and plead to be the Simon Cowell of Jingles?
Yes.
That didn't make me want to eat the peas. I could see the peas, but I couldn't smell the peas. I just want to start making up random things about their jingles.
Even if they're not about peas?
I want to be known as Ralph Jingles Garmin wherever I go. I want that show permanently attached to me. So when I die, I'm going to put it on my headstone.
Maybe they need a host.
Maybe they do.
Try out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Ralph Garmin, and this is Jingles.
Really?
Look, if Sulu singing country music only lasted one episode, how long is Jingles going to last?
I think it's going to run for years.
No, it's going to be good.
I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Not on yet.
But a quick look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Prom Night was number one by a long shot. $22.7 million.
Dr. Zulu!
Street Cakes was number two. In its debut, made $12 million, then 21. Nim's Island, Leatherheads, Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who. Smart People, in its debut, came in at number seven. Then The Ruins, Superhero Movie, and Drillbit Taylor, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. You know what the problem was with Drillbit Taylor? It didn't do better. Didn't have a snappy jingle.
Didn't have jingle.
There you go.
Drillbit Taylor, he'll protect you from the police.
See? Jingles.
That is a great idea.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Abigail Breslin, the adorable little girl from Little Miss Sunshine, who's currently stranded with Jodie Foster on Nim's Island.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, I bet you would.
All right.
She's 12 years old today.
Is she the new Dakota Fanning? Is Dakota Fanning too old now, so Abigail's moved into those roles?
I think maybe so. Mm-hmm. I think Dakota will have a career beyond her childhood, though.
Yeah.
She's sure pretty talented. A lot in her movies.
She does yell.
There's a lot of yelling.
She likes that. Abigail Breslin is 12. I said that, didn't I?
Yep. Yeah.
Sarah Michelle Gellar turns 31 years old today. Debrett is 34. Adrian Brody from the Jarling Limited. Darjeeling Limited.
Or that.
Is 35 years old today. Anthony Michael Hall is 40. And Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond turns 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hi, this is Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
No matter how hard you try. One, two,
why the name Rage Against the Machine?
It just seemed appropriate for that thing it is that we do.
Sounds like we're talking about our pal Tom Morello, who is back with an all-star lineup. That's a Troubadour tomorrow night for the Justice Tour and, of course, headlining Lollapalooza this summer in Chicago. Let's find out what's up with Tom on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Well, it's good to talk to you again. What have you been up to, man? How you been? We were joking right before the news. We said, yeah, Tom's coming on. I'm sure he's complacent as usual. I'm sure he's once again as happy with the world as he's always been.
Status quo is fine.
You haven't been arrested in like a year. What's going on,
well,
Tom? You're slacking off.
I had been on probation for some time, so that's I'm recently off. So once again, I'm free to be tear gassed and hauled away in iron.
Remember when you called us from jail? That was the strangest day.
I did actually. I was a little bit over a year ago, and you did use my one phone call to call me.
That was awesome.
By the way, they called in.
And they said Tom Earl's on the phone from he's in prison, and we were like, yeah, okay.
Tom, I swear to God, I'm not just saying this because you're on the phone, but last week when all that stuff was on the news about the Olympic torch running through San Francisco, I swear to God, I expected to see you come running down Market Street in San Francisco trying to tackle the guy with the torch. I just knew you were going to be there.
Well, I wasn't up in the Bay Area then. I was busy trying to put this tour together.
Tell us all about the tour.
It's called the Justice Tour 2008. It's basically an extension of the hotel cafe residency shows that I've been doing in Los Angeles over the course of the last couple of years, where I basically go through my BlackBerry, invite my friends to come down and play a show for a very worthy cause. It's a tour that is really unlike any. It is audacious in a number of ways. First of all, the people who are playing at the Troubadour tomorrow night include myself, Slash, Perry Farrell, Sendog from Cypress Hill, Davey Havoc from AFI, the band State Radio, Flea, Wayne Kramer, the MC5, Travis Barker, Brad Wilk, Jerry Cantrell, and Pete Yorn.
Anyone we've heard of?
And the ticket price is $10.
$10?
Oh my gosh, really?
Why the Troubadour, though? Why don't you move it to a bigger place?
Well, you know, I mean, like I said, when you do it in a venue so small, and most of these shows in the leading up to this one have been at the Hotel Cafe, where the capacity is about 250. It really makes for a completely unique, once in a lifetime moment of a combination of great musicians coming together for a very worthwhile cause. 100% of the proceeds at the door, and then we do solicit donations as well.
Oh, you do? Because I was going
to
say,
go to an organization called People Assisting the Homeless, and so you know, the idea with this tour is it's a different charity or activist organization in each city, a different bill, a completely unique bill of great artists in every city, and in addition to actually playing the show, each of the stops on the Justice Tour is 2 days. On one day we like crazy at a venue. And on the other day, the artists who perform at the show are invited to participate or to do an event with the charity or the activist group. So today, actually, we're going to go and prepare a meal for the homeless people, you know, who are being serviced by people assisting the homeless, and then sit down, have a nice meal with them, and tomorrow we rock it out.
Gotcha.
No, that's so cool.
Now, how do you choose a set list when you've got so many people from so many bands? Do you just look for songs that you all know, or do you wing it, or what?
Some of it is sort of soliciting from the artists themselves, or songs that, you know, I would really like to hear them play. so everybody plays a short set of their own, and then about at the midway point of the evening is when people start playing together. And it's pretty amazing. We've been documenting the Hotel Cafe shows, as we will with this, on video, and just sort of the backstage jams are almost as entertaining as what happens on stage, because you'll see, you know, it'll be Flea sitting down with, you know, whether it's someone like Ben Harper or Davey Havoc, figuring out, you know, a song by Rihanna that they want to play.
Hey, Tom, you're a guitar hero to millions. There must be guys that you are still jazzed to play with. Like, when you're on stage with a dude like Slash, that's still a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, this is actually going to probably be kind of like Guitar Hero 3 come to life.
Yeah, exactly.
And with these, my set that I do is always the Night Watchman songs, which is the acoustic protest folk music thing that I do, but there is a strong possibility that I will be lured to the electric guitar before this thing is over, just for the sake of a shred off.
You know, it's really what's really cool about this, and Kat Corbett went to one of these shows and she told me it changes from moment to moment, and you don't even know what's coming. Like, it doesn't sound like you know what's coming, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, people will show up at the last minute, or there's always a lot of tentatives, non-confirms before showtime, and you really have no idea who will show up at these things. And in the past, it's run the gamut from Mick Mars of Motley Crue, who's been on stage at the same time as Alanis Morissette. I'm not going to promise anything quite that diverse or jarring tomorrow, but there's going to be a great deal of good rock.
This Justice tour at the Troubadour tomorrow night is sold out, though. That's the bad news,
sold
right?
Out. There are some tickets in reserve that, because you never know how big, Send Dog's guest list might be.
Sure, I understand. Okay, so it wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt to check.
Wouldn't hurt to check at the door. If we get closer to
all right, and
if, but if you do go to in case you are one who wants to, take a little vacation with a loved one, you go to axisofjustice.org, AXIS of justice.org, which has the dates around the country, and if you want to go to somewhere else to see a show,
If you're interested in more details on the charity that Tom mentioned, too, it's People Assisting the Homeless in Los Angeles, and they apparently have a tremendous facility that you're going to be visiting today here in Los Angeles.
And the thing is, one of the things that the show provides is the opportunity for not only the artists to participate in a great organization like that, but fans who come to the show or who even hear about the show, a lot of them have ended up volunteering for some of the organizations that are being benefited.
Okay. All right. Next topic. This is Tom Morello on the line from, he's the Night Watchman, of course, and from Rage Against the Machine. It was about a year ago, I guess, at Coachella when Rage Against the Machine got back together
for the
first show in 7 years. And you said to us at that time, guys, I'm not looking toward the future. I have no predictions. I don't know what it's going to be. It could be a one-off. It could be the start of something big.
Yep.
We don't know.
Yep.
Here we are a year later. You guys are still going strong, have been doing shows pretty consistently over the last year. How's it going, Tom?
It's been great. We played Australia, New Zealand, Japan. We've got a number of shows booked in Europe this summer, and we just announced that we're playing Lollapalooza here in the state. It's been really fun. It's my main focus throughout this last year has been, I've been doing Night Watchman tours as well. Finished a brand new Night Watchman record that that Brendan O'Brien produced, which will come out sometime later this year. But it's been great fun playing the Rage shows, and crowds have been going buck nuts.
Lollapalooza, Radiohead, Rage Against the Machine, Nine Inch Nails, Kanye West, The Raconteurs. That sounds like a fantastic bill.
Yeah, and being from Chicago as well, it's nice to, I get to stay at my mom's house.
Do you mind if I ask one more Rage question?
Yes, but go ahead.
How about a little less homeless and a little more new music? How about some new songs from Rage?
There's no plans to do anything like that.
Son of a bitch.
Brad Wilk is going to be at the Troubadour tomorrow, and he and I will be on stage rocking.
Fantastic.
He'll be a potent guy. combo.
Okay. Lollapalooza.com, of course. And again, just like last year, it's Chicago only at Grant Park, which is a great, is a very cool place for them to stage this thing. Yeah. What an unbelievable lineup. All right. One last thing for me, Tom, and that is, I know that you and I have talked about this before. I know that you're one of the biggest Bruce Springsteen fans in the world, as am I. And when I saw the YouTube video that's up of you on stage with the boss last week for the Anaheim shows, coming out and rocking on Ghost of Tom Jones, I thought, what must that be like? Again, even for Tom Morello, even a professional musician, even a guy who knows guys, what must it be like for you to be sharing a mic, singing and playing with Bruce freaking Springsteen?
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, while I am always enthusiastic about playing music, I don't often get terrified with, you know, raw nerves playing music. And I was pretty nervous for that. You know, I'm a huge fan of Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, to be able to not just, you know, to both trade verses with him and then jam with the E Street Band was pretty exciting. you know, and I had no idea how that was going to go. You know, the boss is well prepared. So we did sound check. He and the E Street Band rehearsed. That was the first time the E Street Band had ever played an electric version of The Ghost of Tom Jones.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching the video. I thought, I don't think I've ever seen them do this before. Yeah, for folks who don't know, by the way, this is one of Bruce's Just Him and an Acoustic Guitar songs, based on the great Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck book, is where the lyrics all come from. But you guys in Rage did a rock and cover version of it, and this was kind of a melding of the two together.
Kind of somewhere in between, and, you know, rehearsed it a lot. It's, you know, it's so nerve-wracking because, you know, you look over and there's like the East, you know, there's the guy on the cover of Born to Run.
Yeah.
One of the things that put me a little bit at ease is the boss really is the boss, and he tells you what to do. You know,
is that right? Really?
He says it's going to be in this key, and this is where the chorus goes, and then you just solo for 5 minutes at the end. I was like, I can manage that.
Wow. Yeah. You just say, okay, sir.
Yeah. The thing was, the Bruce Springsteen, like, I had no idea how they were going to react or if they would even know, you know, because a lot of that audience has been with him for a long time, and they're not my demographic.
Sure, of course, yeah.
I believe that the Bruce Springsteen audience may have cheered louder for a Tom Morello song than the Rage Against the Machine audience.
Well, a lot of them are just, I mean, they're barely accepting one black guy in the band, and then along comes another guy, you know what I mean? It's like crazy.
Exactly.
Well, I was so happy for you, and I hope you're not pissed that people were out there with their cell phones videoing because...
I was like, I was hoping that everybody in the place was videotaping that.
Yes, you have to see it, folks. You have to go to see just an unbelievable piece of work from our friend Tom Morello on stage with Bruce Springsteen in Anaheim last week. It was great. All right. Well, listen, it's always good to catch up with you, Tom.
Cool.
Sounds like you got a tremendous thing with the Justice Tour this summer. Go to the website and check that out.
Yeah, accessofjustice.org. You can learn.
And I know that we will be talking to you again throughout the year, and all the best to you, my friend.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
So The Hills is back with a new episode tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Spencer Pratt joins us here in the studio. Hey, Spence.
Hey, what's up, Chief? How you doing, brah?
Spencer, you have been on fire this season, dude. I don't know if you watch the show, if you see what clips they pull to put on TV, but you are America's new number one villain, my friend.
Whatever it is, I'm sure it's gold, man.
Yeah.
What is going on with you and Heidi? On again, off again, together, not together. What's the deal with you and your skanky girlfriend?
You have to ask her that, brah. I don't even know, Chief, Captain. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like the hourglass of life is the seashell for the monkey.
That's a good point.
That's an excellent point.
Yes,
here's,
right, Chief.
Here's last week's episode. Here's you guys having the discussion about whether you guys are still together or not.
So are we dating? Because... you know, I'll meet girls and they'll be like, hey, you want to go out? And I'm like, I don't know. I think I have a girlfriend, but...
You don't know? You don't know if you want to go out with other girls?
No.
If you want to go out with other girls...
That's not what I said. Are we dating?
So are you asking me permission to go on a date? Is that what you're
asking? My question is, where are we in our relationship? Because
if you want to date, go ahead and date. That's fine if you want to do that.
That's my point. You don't even care.
I do care. I'm not dating anyone, and I don't want to date anyone. I'm not trying to meet guys, and if you're trying to meet girls, then we should break up.
I thought we were broken up.
I'm about to punch you in your face.
We need some sort of mutual suicide pact.
Yeah.
It's the only solution that's acceptable to me between you two.
Now I'm confused.
You're both hateable.
Whatever, boss. You know what I'm saying? Those ladies don't know. Get off my jock, Heidi. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take...
We're going to take phone calls because you seem to have a particular understanding of life.
That's right, Chief. You know how it goes. Listen, Kendall, when ladies or boys, they have problems in love, you know what I'm saying? I'm there for them. I'm there to show them the way, to pave the road that is lust. That's right. Les Dudes, 10 o'clock tonight. You want to go with me?
All right, we're going to take your calls for Spencer, the Love to Spencer, 1-800-520-1067. If you have any questions in your relationship, in your personal life, Spencer's the guy to help. Here's one more quick clip from the show this week, Spencer, and maybe you can explain, maybe you can expand upon this. This is you talking to your sister, Stephanie, who you're just awful to, even though she's letting you stay with her since you've got no place to live. And you're talking about your plan to win back Heidi. And I want you to expand on this for us, if you would.
So the good news is I've started Operation Win Heidi Back.
Good.
At any cost.
Good.
Today's day one.
All right, well, what's the plan?
Oh, like I'm going to tell your little snitch, going to go to LC my plan at class? I don't think so.
What is your plan? How are you going to get Heidi back, Spencer?
I can't tell you. You know why? Because snitches get stitches. That's right, boss.
I don't know what that means.
All right, Bobby.
It sounds like you were making it up, though. You said Operation Win Heidi Back at any cost. You're just making that up, or you don't have a plan.
It did come off the top of my head. That's how I roll like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My brain's working so much faster than the average human.
That's true. That is true.
You're looking pretty swole. You been lifting?
Thanks, I have, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
What kind of calls are you looking for here, Spencer? Do you care? Is it relationship advice? Is it work advice? What are you good at? What's your specialty?
The good, the bad, and the lovely. You know what I'm saying? Just spit it out at the Spence, man. And I'll give you the advice you need. That's right. Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure what you just said. But
whatever, boss.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. All right. It's time time to go to the phones with Spencer the Love Dispenser.
What's going on with you and Heidi?
I should be asking you. I don't know. I don't talk to him.
I don't even hear anything you say. It's just...
Spencer the Love Dispenser! Spencer the Love Dispenser! Spencer the Love Dispenser!
Spencer
the Love Dispenser! Spencer the Love Dispenser! Spencer the Love Dispenser!
I just don't even know.
Yeah. Great. More accurate All words right. have never been spoken, Spencer.
Sounds so great.
All right, 1-800-520-1067, your love advice on the air. Why don't we start with Stephen in Covina? He is on line 4. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Spencer, the Love Dispenser. Go ahead.
What to do, everybody? Hey, Spencer, my girlfriend's a little clingy. I need to know what to do to get some space.
How can I get some space?
Have you ever thought about maybe, like, amputating one of her limbs?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It turns out... No, one of hers, brah. Listen, girls who are amputees a lot of times have really low self-esteem compared to, like, chicks with all four. So just go ahead and lop off maybe your leg or something. Start off small, maybe just an arm. I guarantee, right. You know, you could just... She'll do whatever you say, you know? She'll have, like, one less
arm. Horrible advice.
All right, brah. Thanks for the call, Stephanie.
But doable, right?
All right, Captain.
Sure.
Next call. Thanks, boss.
Let's go to Jacob in Buena Park. Good morning, Jacob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going, guys?
You're on with Spencer, the Love Dispenser.
I need to know if I should get back with my girlfriend. I dated her for 2 years, but she's kind of crazy. And she's like 6 years older than me, and she's looking for the lockdown. I just want to date other chicks.
What should he do?
Wow, John. What you need to do?
Jacob.
Go and talk to her. Go over to her apartment and be like, I need to know what our relationship is, because, like, girls want to date me, and then, they, you know, I don't know where we're at, and then she'll be like, I don't even know, but then she'll be looking at her lips, just like, bobbing, like, and you just tell her whatever, because I can move on, because girls are all dating me, and I don't even care anymore, whatever. All right, thanks. Next call, John.
That was not at all helpful to him, even a little bit.
Good for you. Thanks, Captain. All right, boss.
Let's go. Give him any advice.
Let's go to Gene in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Hey, Spencer, I'm trying to get my girlfriend to have some special time with one of her girlfriends. How do I do that?
Good idea. All right, Jeff, what you need to do is go down to Jonathan Anton in Beverly Hills, have your tips frosted. It'll look real good. You just go get your tips taken care of on the top of your head right there.
What does that have to do with a threesome?
Yeah, get some highlights. Yeah,
he's
all right.
To get a threesome going.
Maybe
not
like a velvet sport
advice.
Coat. Velvet sport coat. And what you need is just a little highlight job. I guarantee everything's going to work out for you. Thanks a lot, boss. Whatever.
You're not.
All right, next call. All right.
How about
great,
Steve
Bean.
In Covina? He's on line 3. I'm running out of patience for Spencer the Love Dispenser. Let's
How
see if you can
dare
help
you.
Steve.
This is good advice. Steve, all good morning. Right.
What's going on, guys? My girlfriend can't give oral sex, man, because every single time she tries, I separate her jaw.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Well, Steve, you sound like you got everything together. You sound like my type of guy. Just go ahead and keep living life. You know what I'm saying? It's like when Pope Bruce was living in his palace in Florence.
Pope Bruce?
Yeah.
Who's Pope Bruce?
Ghost Ride the Whip.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, Spencer.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Dark Ages, man. Open up your mind.
Okay. Thanks for stopping by today. It's been very insightful.
Hey, what? What's your name?
I don't think I need your lip.
No. Linda? Listen, Linda, if I wanted lip from you, I didn't zip my pants. I don't need a woman's opinion.
Nice.
That's right. Good. Keep it down. Pipe down over there, baby doll. Sugar pop.
Like with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars.
How long have you been working on this? How long have you been building up the satellites?
Since 1998.
All right, good.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, I fell asleep and woke up in that during that month.
Hey, Jesus.
Why are we doing this? After the news at 9, we're going to call my friend Al Jessup in West Virginia, the guy we had on a couple of years ago.
That's a great question.
He won't call anyone on his own time if it doesn't
happen
on the
radio. Stop calling
him
your friend, by the way. You saw him once and never spoke to the old dude again for years.
And broke his heart, by the way.
My very close friend Al Jessup, who we fell deeply in love with when we found out that he had 5,000 television channels coming into his little trailer in West Virginia.
We fell deeply in love.
And then we called him and we fell deeply in love.
We come across many, many strange stories and strange people. And we try to talk to some of them. And sometimes it works out funny. Sometimes it's not funny at all.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just interesting but not funny, which is okay, too.
This is none of that. This is horrible.
Al was all of that. Al was awesome.
And
Beat,
of course, loves him because he had 5,000 television channels. I don't know why that makes him love him, but he's a loser. He sold ice cream his whole life.
He
lives
with
his mom since birth.
Uh-huh.
He takes care of his mother.
She's a sweet lady.
He takes care of her. You can't
like Norman Bates. Like Norman Bates
taking care
of his mother, too.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, stuffed in a rocking chair in the attic.
The point is that ever since we last spoke with Mr. Jessup in 2006, I've been begging the guys to let us call him again and find out how he's doing. And they've been no, because they hate America and they hate freedom and they hate God.
Yeah,
so
that's it, yeah.
Finally, today is the day, just after the news at 9, we're going to call Mr. Jessup and see how he's doing. So I'm very excited.
I think you should stick around for it.
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
What if I filibuster for the next hour?
Yes, please, go on and on, like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith goes to Washington. No.
You know,
we're going to call Al.
We're not good at dialing either.
That's true.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
I've seen it happen a million times.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Al so enjoyed talking to us. Let's let him have a thrill and we'll enjoy finding out what's new with him. Who knows?
Maybe his life has turned around since the last time we met.
Yeah, maybe that happened.
He's a model now, Bean.
Maybe he's not.
He's a model.
Maybe he's not selling ice cream out of the back of a van, luring children into cages.
He doesn't sell ice cream anymore. He's retired. He's on disability. Look, he's a good man. Uh-huh. Let's call Al after the news.
All right, but the gloves are off. And we can talk to him, but if he starts to suck, I'm going to say, you suck on the radio, sir.
He doesn't suck.
He's not a professional disc jockey.
He's just a guy.
You have to promise us that you won't torture us for another 2 years after we talk to him.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Maybe we won't.
If he's awesome, we're going to want him back on, is what I'm saying.
I'm saying let Ralph and I decide that.
Mm-hmm. All right, then I get breakfast with Asia that I've been campaigning for.
Oh, dear God.
KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph, and then a call to the great Al Jessup.
47 years ago, I'm starting my filibuster.
Yeah, good. Take your time.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Prom Night, number one by far, $22.7 million. People sure like to see blonde slashed to death with a knife.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
All right. And who doesn't, really? Street Kings was number two at the box office, made $12 million in its debut weekend. Then 21, Nim's Island, Leatherheads, Horton Hears a Who, Smart People, the new movie starring Sarah Jessica Parker and Dennis Quaid. Came in at number seven. The Ruins was number eight, Superhero Movie 9, and Drill Bit Taylor came in at number 10, rounding out your movies at the box office this weekend.
Well, that's very much easy to say that. Do you do any work on Honeymoon?
No, Leslie, I don't. Fascinating news today about a Marilyn Monroe pornographic movie.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That would be... You can make millions.
This is the long, hidden sex movie featuring Marilyn Monroe, according to the story coming out of the New York Post. Originally, the FBI had it.
and apparently still does. It's still a classified document, according to the FBI.
Why is that classified?
Well, it was part of J. Edgar Hoover's investigation into the alleged sexual partnership between Marilyn and or John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
He was trying to find some dirt on them and apparently came up with this movie that had been shot in the 1950s. There was an investigation by Hoover whether the man in the movie, who is apparently on the receiving end from an oral gift,
yes,
from the legendary blonde bombshell movie star, was in fact John or Robert Kennedy. No decision was ever made regarding that.
So they
probably
just classified?
Probably not, because I don't think they met until Kennedy was in office anyway.
Yeah.
At least when he was running for office in the late part of 59, early 60. So,
Hillary is married to Bill, and Bill have been good to us. No, he ain't. Bill did us just like he did Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. Marilyn's doing a Monica to somebody in this
Sounds
movie.
Like it.
Well, why don't we see it?
There's only two copies. One the FBI has, and another one that the guy who originally gave it to the FBI made a copy for himself. This is the one that's been sold to a New York businessman, according to the story, for $1.5 million.
Excellent. When does it come out?
Well, Kevin, here's the downside of the story. The New York businessman, who understandably does not want to be identified, has said he's just going to lock it up. He's going to take the 16mm film and never let it see the light of day to protect Marilyn Monroe's image.
This is unacceptable!
I'm not going to make a Paris Hilton out of her. He said, I'm not going to sell it out of respect.
Let her make a Paris Hilton out of herself.
Well, she's dead, though. It's not like you can hurt her feelings.
That's true, but apparently this guy's a big fan and doesn't want this to become a part of her legacy. He wants to keep her stardom.
Why is he bad?
Status quo. I don't know why he's bad. But we're all a little bit poorer for it.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's only about 15 minutes long, and apparently she's quite enthusiastic.
She'd have to be the biggest star to ever be in a sex tape, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
for sure.
Does the dude say,
suck on that?
Oh, come on.
Does he?
It's a silent, black and white 16mm film.
Okay, silent.
So there's no dialogue.
All right.
That's so hot.
That's hot? That there's no dialogue?
It's a bean love.
That's
a
bean, yeah.
Deion Sanders, legendary football and occasional baseball player, is now getting into the world of reality television.
Oh, good.
Oxygen Network will be airing a TV series called Deion and Pilar, Primetime Love. It's a Deion and his wife, where we get to follow his wife and family closely via reality TV cameras.
I don't think we care about Deion Sanders and
oh,
his wife
come
or
on.
His life.
Prime time!
But we might have cared back when he was still a professional athlete. I don't think we care now.
But now he's not.
Why are you bad, America?
Now, how's that a show?
Now he doesn't play sports.
Right?
So
like most
got
of us,
that
though.
Going for
so
it.
It's less interesting.
Yes!
Okay.
No, I don't know what they're going to have. But you can watch it tomorrow night on the Oxygen Channel if you're so inclined. More reality show news. Brooke White, one of the front runners in American Idol, had to miss her sister's wedding over the weekend because she couldn't skip out on Saturday's rehearsal for American Idol. They would not give her a leave of absence to attend her sister's wedding. TMZ.com reports that the family had to make a cardboard cutout of Brooke in order to have her attend the wedding.
That's lame.
Talk about drawing attention to the fact your sister isn't at your wedding.
No kidding.
What's with the cardboard cutout of Brooke? Oh, she can't make it. She's an American Idol.
It does, well, I guess probably as far ahead as weddings are planned these days, who would have ever had any way to know that your sister was going to be on the show still?
Right, but couldn't she practice another time, you know, make up for it?
Well, it's her choice. The producer said no.
They wouldn't even allow
it. The one thing
she even mentioned it on the show last week, Kevin, is that she wished she could go to it, but
and once they get in this stage of the show, they're sequestered like jurors. I mean, they don't let them out in the outside world. They can't talk to anybody.
Oh,
they
really?
Can't talk to the press. Remember when we wanted to talk to Catherine McPhee when she was in the final run, and they
have no
them on
scandal?
Lockdown. I don't know. Maybe so they don't talk about what's going on behind the scenes or whatever. But
some of it is that, and some of it is that they got them working 7 days a week. I mean, they got to film the car commercial one day, and then they got to do press another day, and then they got to do rehearsals for their show on Tuesday another day. I mean, they do keep them pretty busy.
Dude, that Ford commercial, that's got to take a couple days to film.
At least
because shows are like mini movies. I love those Ford Escape.
You're
going
to enter to win to visit the set, right, Ralph?
Hell yeah. I just want to be part of the lighting.
Yeah, that's hot.
American Idol blows.
And lastly, in reality television news, I can't stop talking about this story. Survivor creator Mark Burnett is doing yet another reality show. This, of course, is the man who gave us Survivor, gave us The Apprentice, a reality TV show genius.
Yeah.
All right, maybe some folks said he may have slipped a bit with My Dad is Better Than Your Dad.
But other than that, his record
But other than that, his record is spotless.
Sure.
What was the other one he gave us? Remember the other one didn't do so well last year?
Yeah, he's had a bunch of them that have come and gone.
He did, I know he did the Internet Gold Rush show where you had to like find a buried treasure.
Yeah, that was one of them. Yeah. He had a lot of them.
He did The Contender, too, didn't he, which was on ESPN for a while?
The Contender, that
was
okay. Yeah, it's still on.
That's right.
Is it? Yeah, I like that show. Anyway, he's back, though. Forget about it. This is the next Survivor. This is the next big pop culture phenomenon. The new 8-episode series is tentatively called Jingles. And on this show, contestants will have to write and perform their jingles.
Sweet!
Jingles will be for anything, from groceries to a clothing line to a new TV show. They have to write and perform their jingles in front of a panel of stern judges. Yes, jingles. Jingles. The new series from Mark Burnett, Jingles, where people will compete with their jingles.
How is that a show again?
Because it'll be on television, and people will be singing jingles. And that's all you need.
Are you going to try out to be the host?
I am going
to
try out
you have
to be a contestant, one of the judges, one of the hosts, maybe a PA, maybe work craft service on the set, maybe just run a light, hold a cue card. I don't care what it takes. I want to be involved in jingles.
Well,
let me tell you something about
Garmin.
Jingles. Jingles is not only a popular name for an elf up in the North Pole, but also is going to be a phenomenon. It's going to sweep the nation.
It's not.
I want to be part of Jingles. The greatest TV series ever.
All right, here's producer Alex has come up with a list for you. You ready? Of course, Survivor, you mentioned The Apprentice.
Yes.
The Restaurant was another one. The Casino was another one. Rockstar.
Rockstar.
Rockstar?
Yes.
Combat Missions.
Combat
The
Missions.
Contender.
Yes.
Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is one of Mark's.
Oh, wow.
Is
That's
it?
A big hit.
Pirate Master.
Ah, yes. Pirate Master was the one I was thinking
pirate
of.
Pirate Master.
Did not go so well, the Pirate Master.
Here's one we actually talked about for a minute when it was on. On the Lot. Remember the one where the guys made movies?
That was
kind of good,
I was the last person in America watching that.
That's correct, yeah.
My Dad is Better Than Your Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Amnesia, which is a current game show that's on right now.
What? I've never heard of it.
Amnesia. See what you did?
Amnesia is on now.
I forgot about that show.
Yeah. And, of course, Jingles is the one that's
going to
be on CBS later this year.
This is going to put Burnett back on top where he belongs.
I think so. We'll forget about Survivor once we see Jingles.
Oh, Jingles. All I can think about is Jingles. It's going to be the best ever.
It does sound like your clown name.
Jingles. I'm Jingles, kids.
That's going to be good.
I have candy in my pants. Try to find it. I'm Jingles. Today's celebrity birthday is Abigail Breslin. She is 12 years old today. Of course, the adorable star of Little Miss Sunshine, and now Nims Island. Sarah Michelle Gellar turns 31. Debrett turns 34. Adrian Brody, star of Hollywoodland and The Darling Limited, and
Penis.
Say it. Say it.
Penis.
Yeah.
He's 35. Anthony Michael Hall is 40. Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond and his new show Till Death is 48 years old today. I think I'm out, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I failed you.
Al Jessup. Al Jessup. Al Jessup. Come
coming
on.
Up shortly.
Let's
Al
do it.
Al Jessup.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's gonna suck.
Trust me on this, guys.
It's
so going to suck.
I wonder who Big Boy's got on.
I'm going to check.
Yeah, me too.
It's a good idea.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz.
FCC or something. They give these TV stations to you know, the satellite companies and the cable companies and everything, and they don't want you to get them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
All right, listen.
Oh,
so much.
Sweet Lord.
Come
heaven.
On. What's wrong with you?
Well,
he's
you
a
know,
nice old man.
It seemed funny leading up to doing this thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Kevin, you know, Kevin and I really hate it, and Bean's really excited about it. It'll be funny, funny, funny. But now that I hear
it's
the
not.
Tape.
It's not going to be funny. It's going to be horrible.
Oh,
don't even
say
we come
that.
Across these stories all the time, trying to find interesting and funny people to talk to. And we try it, and most of the time they're not funny or interesting. Sometimes they're death, like this guy. And we just want to move on. We just want to say, okay, that didn't work. Let's look for someone new.
It was the original story is this guy's got 5,000 TV channels he can watch, right?
And for some reason, that makes him Bean's hero.
He's got like 16 satellite dishes or something?
Yes, he lives in a trailer.
He lives in a trailer. Had 13 satellite dishes all the way around his trailer. That was the story. That's like what got him in the papers. He got more TV than anyone else. And, of course, you know, that makes him my hero. But I don't know. There's just something about him. He's just such a sweet old man that I just really enjoy talking to him.
Well, you could talk to him on the phone. Why don't you call him?
You should volunteer at a home is what you should do. It's filled with sweet old men. Go down to your local old age home and just hand out tapioca pudding.
Remember when Bean asked him how much the satellites cost? And he didn't know, but he was going to look around for a while. And that conversation went on for about a minute. And finally, I interrupted and said, it's okay, Al. Don't worry about it.
I got the receipt here somewhere.
And Bean's like, no, I want to know how much it was. It was just death. It was so bad.
I was thinking
bad.
Of buying one. I wanted to buy that satellite. Like,
buy one. Right,
I got
you
the
could
receipt
have bought one
somewhere.
And installed it before he told us how much it costed.
I remember I put it somewhere in here.
Don't waste all of our time. Let's dial up the phone.
Apparently,
let's call the great Al.
Alex was checking in with him, and she said, Alex from the Kevin Bean Show, Al, we're going to talk to you soon. He's like, I've been waiting.
Oh.
Like, hey,
no,
easy there,
seriously?
Superstar.
We haven't talked to him in a couple of years because he's dead.
Come on, I got children to trap. Let's go. I don't have time for this.
Children to trap at all. He's
I got bear cages to set up to trap children for.
We need some kind of system where if we fall asleep, like a buzzer goes, you know, some kind of, let's move on next.
Are you dialing, Mike?
Not constructive.
Are you promising us 2 years of not talking about Al?
Let's see how it goes.
We're not going to dial then.
No,
let's see how it goes.
Not going to dial.
You have to promise.
2 Jessup-free years, and then we'll continue forward.
To us and the listeners. 2 years.
Yeah, he's not going to live forever.
God willing.
April 14th, 2010.
Yep.
Next time you can bring him up.
Next time we check in.
Next time we call him is going to be April 14th.
Next time you
can bring him up between now and then. That's not acceptable.
No.
I'm not going to not
talk. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
Wait, we're calling him. Let's call him.
We're going to as soon as you agree to this.
All right, I'll say that I will do it then.
There needs to be a blackout on Al Jessup's name.
Yes.
I'll say that I will do it if that's what it's going to take. By the way, for folks who haven't been with us for a long time, I so enjoyed our conversation with Mr. Jessup that when I was on vacation in Tennessee a few months after we spoke with him, I drove to his home in West Virginia, which was about 200 miles in each direction, to visit with him and took him to lunch.
Hello, Al Jessup.
Hey, Al. How's it going?
It's going good.
Al, you should watch
Live TV. Dave on the phone?
Why is Dave on the phone? How are the satellites going?
They are going good. They give me a lot of channels.
Do they?
All right. Hang up on the King of Mexico.
What do you like to watch, Al? Al, what do you like to watch mostly?
What's your favorite show?
I like watching 60 Minutes.
Hold on a second. What's going on here? Somebody talk to me. Why are we talking to Dave? Where's
Al Jessup?
Call Al Jessup.
West Virginia. Hello.
God damn you to hell, all of you.
What are you doing at Al Jessup's house?
You like the Gossip Girl, Al?
All right, call him. But listen, seriously, if it gets boring, dude, we're going to have to cut out.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Why did you waste our valuable time with Dave?
Just to burn you.
Okay. That's funny. Is Dave's infinitely more interesting than Al Jessup will ever be?
All right, here we go.
I wonder if Al's mom's still alive. She had to be 80.
Yes.
Let's lead off with that cheery question.
Al!
Yes.
Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock Los Angeles. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right.
It's great. So great to talk to you again. We've missed you, Al.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been a couple of years since we spoke with you, sir.
Yep, long time.
Yep. What have you been up to?
Still got all those satellite channels?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have you added any?
You mean satellite dishes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went up to 17 and went down to 14, getting ready to put the 15 one back up.
You are a crazy man.
How many channels are you getting now, Al?
Still 10,000 now, but that's down to... I lost a satellite, like the 71 and the 77.
Here's what I like about Al is that most people try to hide their satellite. They put it up on the roof someplace. They kind of maybe block it from view.
Oh,
Al's satellite.
Wears them on his sleeve.
You literally can't see his trailer. His satellites are so big and so in front of the trailer that you literally can't see it. And I appreciate that about you, Al.
Al, have you been working at all or still retired?
I work once in a while. Just because I can't go to places. Except just go to a place called New River Park, only during the summer months.
Right. May, is that to June. Sell ice cream?
Yes. Yeah. Just 3 months out of a year.
A lot of kids there at the park, Al?
Not that many. I just go get out of the house.
Yeah.
I don't make no money.
You don't make any money but that?
Not like I used to, because ain't no money in it no more.
Sure. Yeah.
Really? You can't make a living selling ice cream to the kids anymore?
No, they mainly want people to go to stores.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, they don't buy it off the street anymore. They get it at the supermarket. I see what you're saying.
Right.
And how about your mom? How's she doing, Al?
She's doing fine.
She's the one you're trying to get away from when you go sell ice cream?
She does what?
Are you trying to get away from her when you go sell ice cream?
No, I'm just going to get out of the house when it's pretty.
Sure. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, enjoy the fresh air. Yeah.
I got you.
How old is your mom now?
She will be 87 the 11th of May.
Wow.
She's a real nice lady.
And I'll be 57 the 26th of May.
Oh, how about that?
That's great.
Big Al, month. do you remember the afternoon that we spent together in 2006?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, we need to talk to your mom. Can we talk to your mom?
If you want to.
Yes! Put your mom on the phone.
Al Jessup isn't quite old.
Get the phone. Yeah, I got me a new girlfriend now.
You got a new girlfriend?
Whoa! Wow.
Thanks, Stephanie. She just came to see me the other day.
You meet her at the restaurant?
Do what?
How do you get privacy with your mom living in your house?
Do what?
How do you get privacy?
How did you get what?
Hey, Mom.
Hi, baby. How are you?
How are you, Mom? Great to talk to you. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm getting along pretty good.
Yeah?
Do you remember when I came to visit you at the trailer?
Oh, yes. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wish you had a good time. You wish you could, though, huh?
When you coming over to see us?
This afternoon.
I'm going to try to make some plans to come see you guys again. But listen, Mom, I wanted to ask you, what about this new girlfriend that Al is seeing? Do you approve of her?
Oh, she's okay. She's a good cook, and she cuts his hair. She's a good barber.
She's a good barber.
That's what you look for in a woman.
All right.
It's a good hair cutter.
That's right. Do you think there's some wedding bells in Al's future?
No, I don't think about that.
Yeah. You think he'll ever get married?
No.
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 Us either.
Do you think they're just using each other for sex?
No. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's not think about that, huh?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh.
I understand.
Wow. I haven't quite got used to her yet.
I'm sure.
I understand. Sure. Yeah.
The other woman.
Well, it sure is great to hear that you're still doing so well and that you and Al are still together and still happy. I couldn't be more delighted to have caught up with you guys today.
Well, I'm glad. I just had to say hi to you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you did, Mom. Thank you very much. Put Al back on the phone, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. I'm still here.
Oh, you're still here.
Oh, hey, Al. Al,
we got to go, but it's been great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got me a... Got me a camera phone now, and I've been trying to figure out how to get somebody to send me a picture, but I haven't been able to get somebody to send me a picture.
What would you like a picture of, Al?
I don't know.
Boobs?
No, just Kevin and Bean Show, and you and Kevin and Alex. And
yeah.
Well, we'll take a group photo. We'll send that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have email at all, Al?
I've got the thing on the phone, but I don't know how to use that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got 10,000 TV channels, no email.
Well, when we get our phone, I can give you my phone number.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I think we just called it, actually, but...
Well,
yeah,
the cell phone.
Yeah, I did. I called...
All right. We'll send you some pictures.
This is my house number, and I called Alex from my cell phone, and I called Alex from my...
What happened?
All right. We'll send you some pictures, Al.
Okay, I've been trying to get pictures.
All right, we got it.
They want pictures.
All right.
They're coming.
So all right, my cell number.
Yes, we have.
Okay, we do have your cell.
Al,
thank you for coming on.
Do we have his number?
All right. Thank you for coming on, Al. God bless you. It's great to talk to you again, my friend.
You're welcome.
Good luck with that 15th dish.
All right.
All right, then.
Come on. 2 years, dude. That gets us out for 2 years.
We just talked to him for 2 years, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
The good news is, you get on the air, you win tickets to the K-Rock Red Carpet World Premiere of the new Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, coming out on April the 17th. The bad news is that Psycho Mike and Omar are going to be hosting on the red carpet.
Oh, no.
Kidding? Omar's going to be blasted? That's going to be good.
1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Why don't we start with, let's start with Jason on line 2 today, I think.
Jason, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, Jason?
All right, so I'm going to Tarantino this statement for you. Statement. There's nothing sexier than a woman with a mustache. I know what you're thinking. Awkward, right?
Yeah.
No, let me explain myself. Okay, so I've always said this as a joke.
You sound like a salesman.
Friends.
Yeah, really.
I know. I'm trying to sell you on the idea that there is. You know, I'm trying to get Lisa to maybe buy into this.
But do you really believe that?
I don't actually believe it. It's just a joke I've said. I mean, obviously, you see a chick with a mustache.
Hold on. Let's talk to someone else.
Wow, that deal. So our phone screeners listened to that guy and said, yes, we need to put him on the air.
Something about Tarantino in there, and I don't understand.
Rosie and Pico Rivera, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I called for dating advice. I was dating a guy for 5 years. We broke up, and I met a guy at school. He's nice. He's sweet and everything. Mm-hmm. But we were walking through the parking lot. I get to his car. He has a Tahoe on the back of it. It has Raiders Nation written on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Raiders Nation is spelled R-A-I-T-O-R-Z.
Oh,
and that seems
no.
to be a deal breaker.
Because you can't spell Raiders right?
Well, he spelled it in like a cool way.
But was it his license plate? Like maybe that wasn't available?
No, it was like, it was on the back of the window of the Tahoe.
In Sharpie.
Wow. That is a deal breaker, yes.
But he's nice.
I don't care.
That seems like
he treats her
if
well.
If he's nice, he wouldn't have written that in the back of his truck.
And I had already agreed to like go to coffee with him, but yeah. I'm thinking of an excuse to cancel because that seemed like a real deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know what? Go to coffee, but poison him. Do that for us.
I think you should just keep your eyes open, but move forward. I think it's all right.
Yeah, I do too.
Raiders. It's better if it was just Raiders spelled normally, but Raiders with a T and a Z at the end.
Well, maybe she can get him to change it.
He's being creative. Yeah, she can get him
she
to change.
She can tell him what
that's what you
it.
Should do, girl.
You know,
girl.
That,
no,
you know that Raider Nation, they're pretty flexible.
Just the spelling.
Let's go to Samantha in Santa Monica. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning, guys. Hi, baby boo.
Hi,
ooh,
Samantha.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. A couple of years back, I believe it was like 1 or 2 years ago, I saw a picture of Lisa Mae making out with another girl.
Yeah
there's a few of those out there.
I'm sorry?
I said there's a few of those out there.
Okay, well, not enough. One of them really got to me.
Like, yeah. Really. Got to your house, man.
Okay, well, exactly how you guys are. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
go on.
Wow. Like a funny feeling in your special place?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I think, I'm not sure, I have a thing for girls now.
Yeah, I think you do.
And it's all because of Lisa Mae.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So proud.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like,
are you calling to thank her?
Are you calling to go on a date with her?
Actually, I tried to call so I could lick her. But,
oh, for like Lisa, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Lisa. And I never get in. So I'm just calling to like see if we could go out or...
She'll go out with you. Absolutely, okay. She'll
and
go out.
And we'll pay for our date.
And we'll pay for
we'll
it.
We'll go someplace
and
fabulous.
You can come in and be a special guest licker on the next edition of Lick Lisa. We can do that, too.
I've been wanting the liquor for a long time.
Yeah, all get right. in line, sister.
Yeah, we all. Exactly.
Well, it's very flattering, Samantha. Wow. Although, frankly, girl-on-girl porn gives me a special warm feeling as well.
It should.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yes, it does mean something. Don't you dare say that.
Okay.
It means everything.
All right.
Let's make sure to save Samantha's information so that we can include her in all of our Lisa Mae lesbian plans in the future.
Okay.
All right. Shall we end it there since it was
yes.
so good? Okay. I want to thank our special guest, Tom Morello, for joining us today. Of course, with Rage Against the Machine, they are headlining Lollapalooza in August in Chicago. Go to lollapalooza.com for details. Sold out Justice Tour comes to the Troubadour tomorrow night on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. And I guess we'll be in touch with him later in the year. As he announced this morning on the program, he's got a new Night Watchman project coming out later this year, too.
Yeah.
Yes, Ralph.
See what we got on line one? That's the guy with the Raiders Nation spelled back bad on his truck.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, really? He's calling in to say it's BS.
What? Jacob?
Hello.
You're the dude that she's dating?
That's it.
What did
what
you
it do, Jacob?
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, there's your problem right there. We can't understand a word you're saying,
it.
Jacob.
I would love to hear him try to defend Raiders with a T and a Z. That would have been good.
You can't even buy a cell phone that works. You expect to be able to spell? Come on.
All right, I changed my mind.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Bean is his usual charming self. As we talk about the
what
girlfriend of George
about?
Clooney.
Oh, this will be spectacular.
I'm just saying,
so quit
hateful.
With the. She no, she's just bitching because it's so hard being arm candy. Just shut up and enjoy it and relax. I mean, it's the best job you'll ever have in your life.
Well, I'm glad you've judged her life from beginning to end.
She's not capable of anything else other than just being a date for George
you
Clooney.
You don't even know her, Bean.
I'm saying she ought to roll with it. I'm
all
saying
right,
she ought to. She's lucky to have it.
All you that are sitting down, your email says fire off a complaint. We know. Yeah. That's just Bean. Also, is Charlie Marley our internal lesbian? We're going to find out tomorrow.
Let me save you some time. Yep.
The Pope's coming to America tomorrow.
Is he that's a lesbian?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
And from Ease the Soup, Joel McHale will be in the studio tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Very funny. Look forward to that. Cat Corbett up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including The Living End, also Muse, Serge Tankian, Puddle of Mud, Pepper, new one from Seether, and more after this on K-Rock.